High School football is on the air. HavenFootball.net is pleased to present tonight's Strathaven football game. Tonight's game is between your 4-0 Strathaven Panthers and the 2-2 Haverford Fords.
Ball spotted, kick is away, it is long enough, and it is good! Emmett Young pounds it through with 4.4 seconds left! Deep down the middle, has a man out there, Pio's got it inside the 10, inside the 5, and into the end zone for a touchdown!
Tonight's game is sponsored by Steve Tobbs Allstate Insurance and Media, Auto, Home, and Life. You're in good hands with Allstate. PNC Bank branches in Nether Providence and Swarthmore, your friendly neighborhood bank. Make today the day. Berman's Health Shop, for all your vitamins, herbs, and supplements in Brookhaven. The Delaware County Daily Times, all high school sports every day. If it happens in Delaware County, it's in the Delaware County Daily Times. AMF Auto Clinic, taking care of your cars since 1961, located in Brookhaven on Edgemont Avenue. Sandy McCulley at Berkshire Hathaway Home Services and Media. Give her a call when buying or selling your home. Here are tonight's internet announcers, the voices of the Strathaven Panthers, Brian Carroll, Pete Fulginetti, Andrew Kaufman, and Mike Mayer.
Four and oh. It's been a whale of a start for the Strathaven Panthers here in the first half of the 2019 season. Some saw it coming, some maybe a little surprised, but with good luck, good fortune, and most importantly, good play, both offense, defense, and special teams, the Panthers have roared through the first month of the season, and now, for the first time in, well, over a decade, are looking to knock off Haverford here at Cornog Stadium in Havertown. Haverford, tough start, 0-2. Again, this was a slow start for Joe Gallagher and his team, but boy, after a slow, just 7 points on the board in week one, went toe-to-toe with Garnet Valley in week two. Back and forth it went to the final drive of the game, and since then they have absolutely rolled their opponent. So Haverford coming in hot tonight, looking to defend their home turf and put themselves on the winning side of the record just a couple hours from now, but they have a hot Panther team on the other sideline, and we're thrilled to bring it to you right here on HavenFootball.net. Well, week five of the high school season's in front of us already.
Man,
I can't believe it. We're flying through it, and we're just happy to be here again. Thanks to everybody at the athletic department at Haverford. Brian Carroll bringing you play-by-play tonight, and this season seems to be flying by, but we have a gorgeous night for football. Really very little wind to speak of. It's been a clear sky. The sun's starting to go down now, so the sun will not be a factor during pregame warm-ups. Nobody could see a pass or a punt headed their way, but we are setting up for a terrific night here, and glad you're joining us either live or on the archive. So Panthers, again, tremendous start. A lot of energy and enthusiasm down in Wallingford again, but a tough road test here tonight. Probably their toughest test to date. Easy for me to say, Mike Mayer.
Yeah. I Ridley was going to be a challenge, and they handled them pretty easily. Radnor, we thought we would handle fairly easier, and then showed up with a tremendous defensive effort. Didn't get the ball rolling so much in offense. I know the 2014 score looks like they did, but they really just kind of were hanging in there. They did tie up the game at the beginning of the second half, but then Haven rolled again, scored twice, and then the last touchdown for Radnor. So the offense wasn't quite the threat, but boy, the defense kept us in check. One breakout, I think, by Prozniak for maybe 30 yards, but that was probably the longest run of the night. They just kept us in check very effectively. And, of course, the danger with that kind of an effort, assuming that you can match talent in another team, is that Haverford gets to see that film and goes, oh, I see how we do this. Now, you have to have the talent on the field to do it. Haverford has got some nice kids. They certainly have some kids that are returning, which you're going to talk about in a minute. They ran totally over us last year, 40-20. We didn't score a point until Haverford had 20 points on the board. We were pretty well overwhelmed. At that point, I think we'd already lost four games, so it's going to be a tough year anyway. We looked at it. But the bottom line is, and this is what we love about high school football, you know, from 16 to 17, these kids get bigger, they get stronger, they get better, and suddenly, you know, your freshmen come up, they're now sophomores, you look around, and suddenly you have a team that is so much different than what you had the year before, and that can be for good or for bad. And in this case, you know, Haven's paid their dues for the last 7 or 8 years, having difficult seasons and not quite stellar teams, trying to make ends meet and work with the talent they had. They had some, when I say recruiting, they had kids that just weren't showing up to play ball. They seem to have passed all that, and they're got back to, if not full strength, and much closer to full strength with good talent on the field. So You know, I expect this to be a barn burner. Certainly the people at the Daily Times, who know as much about this game as anybody, only because they see as much of it as anybody, they've got it very close across the board, and they've also got three of them are voting or feel that Haven will win this as opposed to two, but that's a wash as far as I'm concerned. So I think this is one of those games, as I said on the Facebook post, you know, Strathaven's ready, Haverford's ready, we just got to play the game.
Just have to play the game indeed. And in fact, the last two visits to this field, 2016, it was a 23-17 victory for Haverford. 2 years prior to that, 42-36, when Haverford scored on the final play of the game. The Panthers took the lead with 29 seconds left in that game. A wild comeback, a Kevin Mulholland scramble, and Anthony Myers punching in a two-point conversion to take the lead.
Still brings a tear to my eye.
And then Kevin Lydon streaking down the hash mark for a 60-yard touchdown to end the game. So, go back to 2007, and you had a 17-14 game. So there have been very entertaining games at this particular stadium for several years now, and for two longtime coaches, Joe Gallagher and Kevin Clancy. Again, it seems the over at George L. King Field, we've had lopsided games, but tonight we anticipate another close one. And can't say enough, of course, about if you have a 4-0 team on the visiting sideline, the team right here in front of us is pretty darn good too. Senior Layden Haverford, every offensive starter is senior, plus the two tight ends off the bench are seniors. 10 of the 11 starters on defense are seniors. Again, this is a big, strong, fast team, and of course they have two Division I players in the backfield and another, maybe a third, if Chase Wint gets somebody's attention, and probably should. But Trey Blair does a little bit of everything. Was a running back, slot back last year. They have him at quarterback, frankly, just to get the ball in his hands immediately. He can run it, he can throw it. He's has over 400 yards passing and rushing in the first four games in total. He will be probably the best runner on the field tonight, and the Panthers have to keep him in the barn. When he does throw it or hand it off, he's got Shane Mosley, whose older brother Jordan tore up the Panthers in that last visit here in 2016. Jordan's down at the University of Maryland. Shane will join him there next year. And, of course, Trey Blair headed to the University of Buffalo, another Division I program next year. That's two spectacular talents that the Panthers will have to know where they are. And, you mix in Justin Burgess, who might be their fastest player, right. Faster than both of them. He's a wide receiver as well. And kick returner, the Panthers will have their hands full on defense for sure.
No doubt. Now, Trey Blair is such an outstanding athlete, and it's the first time we've ever seen this. Andrew pointed this out to me, that on the roster, they don't have a position for him. It's just athlete.
Yep.
And I that's probably true, because I would assume that any place they need him to go, and I would bet, without knowing, that would include kicking extra points and punting if they had to. He would just be sent there. He's one of those kids that we all kind of knew in high school that just seemed to, look, Jerry, this is golf. You hit the ball like this, and suddenly he's driving to 300 yards on his first attempt. So, he is an athlete, but, of course, the beauty about football is one man, no matter how good, does not make a team. And I agree with you. I think that this is really going to be a strong test for Haven's defense. The offense is going to have to keep doing what it's doing, and I think the offense can get some yards here. I think they can score some points. I think the real question is going to be, what is the Haven defense up to? Are they as good as they've appeared in past games? And, of course, are they going to have a good game tonight?
Certainly, and again, with the Panther defense being tested here, you have a terrific offensive line for Haverford as well. Like we said, they went toe-to-toe with Garnet Valley, a 35-28 loss in a game that went down to the final minute. And again, this is a team that is every bit as big as Strathaven up front, probably a little bigger in some spots. So Haven will be matched or even slightly outmatched size-wise. But again, they'll have to figure out the wing tee, Will Haverford, and they will have to slow down, any number of Strathaven backs who had come in averaging 7.8 yards per carry. Number one and number three rusher in all of Delaware County, John Prochniak at fullback, and Ebo Pio is a terrific 1-2 punch. They are, again, first and third, respectively, in rushing yards through the first 4 weeks. Prochniak also leading the county with nine touchdowns. You mix in Evan Blake at 7 yards a carry and Jarris Adams at almost 10 yards a carry. And, again, the Panthers have some weapons there to share the ball. And it might be a game like Radnor, honestly, if the Panthers have to use all four downs and get it 3 or 4 yards at a time. My guess is you're not going to see guys flying past the likes of Blair in the secondary and Mosley and Burgess. I mean, there is some terrific speed in the defensive secondary for Haverford. So, again, the Panthers may need to grind it out and just keep Haverford's offense sidelined.
Well, I think where you see the breakouts, and this is what Ryder was so effective at, number one, they flew to the ball, no doubt about that. And they closed down holes that were open that normally we would have gone for 10, 15, 20 yards, and they shut that down for a five-yard gain. Now, obviously, 5 yards, 5 yards is a very successful offensive formula. But they're used to having the breakouts. And I think here, you know, when you can identify the difference, I think, with Radner is I'm not too sure that we were convinced as to what weapons Radner had. I think Haverford, we know who the weapons are. So can we seal them off? Can we stop them? Can we even slow them down by a step or more? That could get. We have such good speed now. If we can slow them down by that half a step, again, I don't know if he's going to go all the way to the end zone, but can he break it for 15 or 20? I think it's going to be doable. I'll be surprised if Haven comes out with the same kind of night. I'll be delighted if they have the same kind of night they had last week, but I'll be surprised if they don't have a breakout play here or there.
Well, they will try to mix it up. Coach Clancy, again, 309th career win last week against Radnor, and 242 of those now at Strathaven. The captains will meet at midfield for the Panthers. They are in their road whites, black pants, black numerals on the jerseys, and silver helmets. Sam Burke, John Prochniak, Ebo Pio, and John Wilson will meet the Haverford captains, who are in red head-to-toe with gold numerals and gold trim on the uniforms. Number 11 is wide receiver defensive back Sean Reynolds. And he's joined there by Chase Wint, who wears number 44. He'll get a bunch of carries and play some defensive end as well. Trey Blair, the all-purpose do-everything quarterback and corner. And number 66 is Big John Cunningham, left tackle, 6'2", 240. All seniors, and Haverford has deferred. Strathaven will receive the opening kickoff, moving left to right in front of us. So we will be back momentarily for the playing of the national anthem. A few more words just to get things started, and a whole lot of action. Week 5 of the high school season and a big game in the Central League tonight. Be back in a moment for kickoff on havenfootball.net.
You probably have a deductible of $500 on your car insurance. Why shouldn't it shrink each year you drive safely? Allstate thinks it should, down to nothing. Can you afford not to be in good hands?
Your local Allstate agent is Steve Taub in media. Give him a call at 610-566-3500 for all your insurance needs. Your car is probably your second biggest investment. An AMF Auto Clinic in Brookhaven wants to keep that investment in tip-top shape. AMF Auto Clinic has been maintaining automobiles since 1961, and they take pride in their work and in keeping your car in perfect running order. From inspections to general maintenance and repair, you can trust your auto investment to AMF Auto Clinic in Brookhaven. Call for an appointment today at 610-872-2167.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ron Jaworski, former Philadelphia Eagles quarterback, and you're listening to high school football right here on havenfootball.net.
That's the Haverford High marching unit playing the Star Spangled Banner. Thanks again to Mike Mayer for the color commentary, engineering, and everything else on havenfootball.net. Andrew Kaufman helping with the stats, and Pete Fulginetti here with the spotting. We'll hear from them at halftime. I'm sure there'll be some opinions about the Eagles' tough Sunday night 5 days ago, and maybe some discussion about the upcoming game with the Lions. But thanks again to everybody at Delco Times and WNPV and everybody else on Twitter for keeping us posted on score updates from around District 1 and District 12 here in southeastern Pennsylvania. We'll try to keep you posted on other local games like Marple Newtown and Upper Darby, Lower Marion and Springfield, Harrington and Conestoga, Chester and Roman Catholic, Radnor Garnet Valley is a big one, Pencrest and Ridley as well in the Central. We'll try to have updates for you as we go along and, of course, keep things going right here. But right now, teed at the left hash mark is Dan Bebo, ready to kick it away, wearing number 86 for Haverford. Ready to kick it away to Ebo Pio, Matt Schuler. And here's a line drive. It's going to come down to Schuler at the 10-yard line. Schuler crosses 15 up the right hash mark and shuffles his way out to the 31-yard line. And the Panthers will start things there. Jack Ryder is your quarterback. John Proshniak at fullback. Ebo Pio and Evan Blake are the halfbacks. John Wilson's your tight end. When they go with two tight ends, it'll be Aiden Proshniak. When they use a split end, it'll be Chris Willett or Jason Stone in the lineup, perhaps. Mike Golay is the center. Alex Shahadi and Matt Dowdy are the guards. Tackles are Sam Burke and Jack Henry. Panthers will snap it from the right hash mark, moving left to right. They go with two tight ends. Wilson to the right, Proshniak to the left on first and 10. Under center, and they give it to John Proshniak. Straight ahead for next to nothing. Right there is Brian Klee, the inside linebacker on the stop. He is joined on the inside by Will Higson. Outside backers are Sean Reynolds and Aiden O'Neill. Defensive end is Chase Wint. Opposite him is Elihu Bay. Harry Carpenter, your defensive tackle. And Shane Mosley in the linebacking core as well. Trey Blair, Justin Burgess, and Jimmy Wright round out the secondary. Again, 11 seniors on the offense for Haverford and 10 more on the defense, Wright being the only underclassman. He's a junior wearing number 20 playing center field here. No gain on the play. Well, they give him a few. It'll be second down and 7. Motion man is Blake. They give it to Proshniak off the left side, and nothing that time. He'll lose a couple back near the original line of scrimmage. So we'll turn this into third down and about 8.
He lost a yard on that. Yeah, the gain actually was off Proshniak on that first play. He was almost like a scrum, and they refused to call it. They didn't whistle. You were starting to look at your roster, and he actually moved up 3 yards. So it was stopped the line of scrimmage, and he just kind of leaned into it.
So the Panthers from the 34-yard line, third down, and about, yeah, we'll call it about 8 here. Same formation, two tight end set. Christian Mazur, tight end to the right. Wilson to the left. Ebo Pio, wing to the left now. Haverford nearly jumps. Four-man front. 8 men in the box. Ryder on third and short. They give it Proshniak on the quick hitter. He's right up the middle, and he's got a burst out near midfield. Panther first down as Proshniak rips off 16. Well, that's one way to get it going.
Well, I tell you, it's gutsy. It's not the play I would have called. You know, we talked about this last night against Radnor, where they kept running up the middle, like saying, what are you seeing? Of course, 10 seconds later, they broke for 35 on that one. So,
nose of the football on the midfield stripe, and the Panthers on the move here. 10-18, 10-17, and counting to play here in the first quarter. Opening drive of the game. Panthers right to left in front of us. Wing to the left is Ebo Pio. Blake and John Proshniak in the backfield. It's Blake off the left side, cuts it back. Not much to work with there. And Evan scoots back to the line of scrimmage. Not much else.
Do you think that was an off-tackle play, or was he looking to run outside?
Well, they're supposed to. Ideally, you're cutting inside the tackle.
Yeah,
there.
That's what I thought, because I didn't see anybody leading.
Not much doing. Nice work there by Wright and number 4, Aiden O'Neill. O'Neill, in the win last week, had an interception. So here, Haverford coming off a couple of weeks here where this defense has been fantastic. Shut out Pencrest 2 weeks ago, and then last week a 48-7 win over Interboro. On second and long, they go right back to Blake. Same play, slightly better result. Slightly meaning maybe he got 2 feet.
Yeah.
Third and a long 9 upcoming here as Blake is stopped. And Blake, again, terrific week last week on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. Was the leading tackler for the Panther defense. And then 13 carries for 62 yards and a big touchdown run, 16-yarder, his second rushing touchdown of the season.
They have not tried an outside, you know, a sweep of any kind yet.
Not yet. All right, so Panthers 3rd and 9 from the Haverford 49. Jack Ryder under center. Turns, gives to Pio, dances outside, and he's going to be slung backwards for a loss. Right there is Mosley. Drops him back at the 45-yard line. It'll bring up 4th and 15.
Yeah, Mosley just got right off of his block and went right for the kill. Saw the play coming. Obviously, Haven's going to have to figure a way to hold those blocks.
Good work there from the Haverford defense to start things, and Emmett Young on to punt it away. Couple of good return men back there. Number 11 is Sean Reynolds. Number 5, Justin Burgess. They await inside their 20. Young with 2 punts, averaged about 27.5 yards per punt a week ago. Panthers had maybe their biggest play of the game in the special teams last week when Jarris Adams recovered a muff. Here, high, good spiraling kick. It's going to take a Strathaven bounce inside the 20-yard line. Terrific roll down to the 17 and down there by Alex Hemingway. Good work there from Emmett Young to tilt the field a bit.
Yeah, who's doing real well with his extra point. He's I think only missed a couple of them so far this season, and now he's getting to be quite a punter.
37 on the punt, no return, and on for Haverford is the offense. Trey Blair's your quarterback. Chase Wint is your running back. Slot backs are Shane Mosley and Justin Burgess. The split ends are Colin Nye and Sean Reynolds. Kevin Gillespie, the center. Dean Ranloff and Jack Chicano are the guards. Harry Carpenter and John Cunningham, your bookend tackles. Shotgun look. It'll be shotgun spread most of the night. Chase Wint is on the right hip of Blair, who's in the shotgun. Trey Blair barks out the signals, three wide receivers to his right, gives to Chase Wint straight up the middle, goes Wint right through the arms of Evan Blake, and then gets some help there from John Wilson. But Wint takes it out to the 24-yard line for a gain of about seven. Brings up second down and three. Panther defense tonight, Christian Mazur and Aiden Prochniak, your defensive end. Sam Burke and Matt Dowdy, the tackles. Inside backers, John Wilson and John Prochniak. Evan Blake and Matt Schuller, your outside backers. Chase Barlow and Jarris Adams on the corner. Ebo Pio is your free safety. Second down and three after Wint went for seven. Wint still in the backfield, twins to either side. Blair fires a quick hitch to the outside, coming back to the ball, making a diving catch. Incomplete. Said it hit the turf, intended for Colin Nye at about the 28-yard line. Would have had first down yardage there, but underthrown, and it brings up third down and three. Trey Blair, certainly a running threat here. They go no huddle. Twins again. Receivers to either side. Blair back. Looks. Fires the same pass. Hitched. Complete. Juggled and dropped.
Yep.
Nay had it in his hands again, and he dropped it. Wanted to turn upfield. Had himself an easy first down, but could not squeeze it. And two incompletions, and the punt team comes on. So the Panthers dodge a bullet there.
Shades of the Radnor game. Last week, nobody could hold on to the ball for the first quarter or so.
From both teams, right?
Yep, absolutely.
All right, so here's Blair to punt it, counting all his numbers in front of him. He'll receive
one.
A punt snap inside the 15, and here comes Jimmy White to round out the 11 for...
You had to tell everybody you forgot?
Well, I wasn't. I mean, that could be coaching. They could put anybody
that's
out
right,
there.
That's right.
But Blair takes a high snap and steps into it. High, terrific punt. Not a lot of distance, but it's going to take a lot of hang time here and then take a terrific Haverford roll inside the Strathaven 45 and down at the 41-yard line. So teams trade punts on their opening possession, and Panthers will start here in pretty good field position at their 41-yard line. 7:05, and clock's running. Not sure why, as they change positions here. I'm not sure why the clock is running, but
no,
we're inside of 7 minutes here. Okay. The officials are right. They're going to get that figured out now.
Yeah.
Lost maybe 30 seconds off the clock there, but we'll be a little over 7 minutes to reset the clock here, and we'll keep you posted on scores from elsewhere if we can. See if there's any early action around Delaware County and beyond. That's the other fun news over there tonight. Marple Newtown and Upper Darby playing on some beautiful new turf over on Lansdowne Avenue.
Nice.
And Eric Rufinak just sent a picture over. That looks great.
Except you get those little rubber pellets in your shoes all the time when it's a new turf.
Well, this will hold up pretty well.
This is look how well ours held up.
A nice service for everybody at Upper Darby and everybody who visits. So that's fantastic at Memorial Field. So we do not see Upper Darby this year, but we'll catch up with them in the next couple years ahead of us. All right, first and 10 from the 41. Wing to the right is Evan Blake. Two tight ends in front of Ryder. They give it a quick hitter to Prochniak, who bounces off his own man and gets the line of scrimmage and nothing else. In on the stop again is Brian Klee. I believe that was his older brother, Kevin, who played here a couple years ago, one of our last visits here. Two inside backers, Higson and Klee on the stop. Brings up second down and about nine. Prochniak, four carries for 19 yards and the one first down achieved in the game so far. But not much else going here for either team in the early going. Two tight ends again. Aiden Prochniak in at the tight end to the right. They give it on the sweep to Ebo Pio. Looking for room on this right outside to the right. And he's going to push his way near the midfield stripe. They'll mark him down at about the 48 or 49. Brings up third down in about three. So nice productive work there and a good lead block from Aiden Prochniak.
Yep, that's what I was looking for. I was wondering why they just concentrate up the middle all the time. They had that one good play on that quick hitter, but really haven't been able to produce much up the middle. Now the sweep works. And, of course, that also will take, theoretically, some of the pressure off the middle. They'll have to start cheating outside a little bit looking for the sweep.
All right, third down and three. Big play for the Panthers here as they're just shy of the midfield stripe. Need the 49-yard line of Haverford. Eight in the box again. It's Prochniak off the left side, and he is met in the backfield. Nothing doing. They are waiting for that one, and number 11, Sean Reynolds, stands him up at the line of scrimmage. Nothing else going, and fourth and three, and punt time for the Panthers.
Yep.
Two possessions, and we've seen Emmett Young on the field twice already.
Right now, the only people that have stopped Haverford actually is Haverford by with drop passes. So right now, Haverford could have had some first downs here and some good yardage. Panthers are struggling to find their momentum here.
Emmett Young will await the punt snap from John Prochniak. He stands at his 35-yard line. Reynolds and Burgess await near their 20. Snap is a good one. No pressure. And Emmett, end-over-end kick this time. It's going to head towards Burgess. Takes it on the dead run. Steps away from one man. And oh, then a whistle. Did anybody? Oh, Burgess seemed to think. I think he talked the referees into a fair catch.
Yeah.
Referees did not blow the whistle. And thankfully, you know, he's saying, yeah, I signaled for it, and he stopped. I think if he had kept running, nobody would have said otherwise.
Yeah, and I think the ref just told him, no, the arm's got to go way up to tell me what you're doing here.
All right. Well, Panthers seemed to
I didn't see any call.
Because they didn't tackle him.
Right,
they just stood there, and Burgess just stopped. But anyway, they're going to place it down. Fair catch signaled and made at the 26-yard line. And Trey Blair in the offense back on the field here. All right, they go with a tight end set here. This is Higson to the right, two receivers to the left, one to the right as well. Wint is in the backfield. They usually run out of this set, and it's going to be Blair on a keeper to the outside. He's got the edge momentarily. Turns upfield, and now it's a foot race. Down the far sideline, 50, 45, 40, and Trey Blair will go the distance, 74 yards. You're going to see that speed, and it didn't take long. First carry of the game, and Blair puts Haverford on the board at the 4:43 mark of the first.
Yep, that was, you know, this is what we saw last year, and we were hoping it wasn't going to happen again, but there we go.
Well, you know, the Panthers have done a marvelous job containing the edges through the first 4 weeks, but I will say they have not seen someone who can run like this young man.
Right.
This is by far will be their biggest test, their fastest test, and again, not passed in that particular moment. All right, Beef Wellington on for the extra point. High snap, ball spotted nicely. Kick is away, up and good. 7-0 Haverford, 4:43 to play here in the first. We'll be back in just a moment, see if the Panthers can answer. They're down 7-0 here on HavenFootball.net.
Stop by Berman's Health Shop today for premium CBD oil. Organic and Colorado grown. The best you can buy at a great value. We educate and talk you through the process of using CBD oil. Give us a call to learn how people are dropping traditional medicines for CBD. Call us at 610-874-8418. Trust the authority. Trust Berman's.
This is Ralph Lawler of the LA Clippers, and you're listening to high school football on HavenFootball.net.
Welcome back to Cornhog Field. Haverford up 7-0 here in the early going. 4:43 to play here in the first. Trey Blair, every bit as advertised and as expected. Just a beautiful run right there. Caught the edge and said, I'm just faster than you. For pretty much the whole right sideline in front of the Strathaven bench. All right, here we go. Bebo ready to kick it away. High end-over-end kick. This one's going to come down to Ebo Pio at the 18-yard line. Looks moment, shuffles his way to the left. But again, very good coverage here for Haverford. Will put Strathaven at about their 31, 32-yard line to start things. So the Panthers, not much doing on offense in the early going here. Just 20 yards rushing through two possessions and one first down. And at the moment, they'll have to try to tilt the field a little bit, and we'll see if they want to put it in the air at some point. Don't want to get away from their bread and butter just yet. Lots of time in front of them, but have not had much luck in the early going moving the football. All right, two tight ends again. Wilson to the right, Aiden Prochniak to the left. Wing T behind Jack Ryder. On first down, they play fake, and now on the sweep, it's Blake, who is met in the backfield, and he's going to lose a couple here. They're going to drop him back at the 29. So he'll lose three on first down, and again, Mustang sweep, just Fords were ready for it.
Well, I tell you, you know, if you have the talent, Haven's not hard to coach against because, you know, the offense is fairly predictable. So, you know, the one problem with the wing T is that it's a fairly predictable offense.
All right, here we go. Jason Stone into the game. He's tight end to the right. And now they go with a wing split here. Ebo Pio split to the right as well. Motion man is Pio. And play fake back to pass Ryder for the first time. Looking. He's got the wheel route looking for Pio on this near sideline. Juggled. Ball in the air and knocked away out of bounds. Very good coverage there. Pio had a chance and Burgess said no out near midfield here. Third and 13 upcoming as the Panthers try to open it up there. Not a bad play call there.
Trying to get things going,
but ball in the air a long time. And, again, just very good positioning, very good coverage there, both over and under.
And the height of the ball to get it out there gave the defenders tough time to get to Pio, who was open just a little bit when the ball was thrown.
Third and 13 from their own 29. Jason Stone split end to the right now. Evan Blake, wing to the right. Two backs behind Jack Ryder. And on third and 13, Ryder gives an approach and the axe straight up the middle. Yeah. He's going to get a few. Tried that quick trap play that worked earlier. Takes him out to the 34-yard line. So Prochniak picks up five, but it'll still be fourth down and about eight. And Emmett Young on to punt for the third time. Clock continues to tick. 3:28 and counting to play here in the first. Haverford leads 7-0 and is about to get the football back, probably in pretty good field position here, unless Emmett can boom one over the heads of Burgess and Reynolds, who wait at their 35-yard line. Young awaits the snap from John Prochniak. Snap is a good one. He steps into it, and it's a high wobbler. Fair catch signaled for and made by Burgess. Lunging catch at his 39-yard line. Took a chance, and good for him. Made the play about 2 inches off the top of his shoes.
Coach Gallagher's heart probably stopped momentarily for that one.
Well, nice work by Burgess. Chances are, if he doesn't catch it, that ball's rolling for another 10 to 15 yards.
But he's got to stay away from it. If he touched it, it's an open ball.
All right, here we go. They'll put the nose of the football on the 40-yard line. Good field position here for Haverford. They go no huddle. Split ends to either side. Nye to the right, Reynolds to the left. Slot right is Burgess. Backs on either hip of Blair, Mosley, and Wint. On first and 10. They give it to Wint. Nope, keeping it himself is Blair straight up the middle, and he's going to be met by Blake and John Prochniak. They drive him backwards and bang him down. But forward progress will give him the 44-yard line, second down and six upcoming. Trey Blair's father is a Strathaven alumni, late 80s, early 90s basketball player. Good work there by the Panther D, collapsing on Blair that time. And between the tackles is where the Panthers were actually a little more worried. But Blair caught the edge last time he ran it, and 7-0 is our score at the moment. Here on second down and six, Blair, same formation, backs on either hip, and they're going to give it to Mosley for the first time. He turns upfield. He's going to bang his way across the 45 to the 47. It'll bring up third down and about three. Nice work there by the Panthers. Good pursuit. Strung it out. And a host of white jerseys in there, led by Prochniak and John Wilson. Clock ticks. 2:04 and counting to play here in the first quarter. 7-0 Haverford. They'll snap from the left hash as they move right to left. Third down and three. From their 47, Panthers with a four-man front. Eight men in the box. Back to passes. Blair fires to the outside. It's complete to Mosley. First down. He's going to step away. Nope. Good work there by Chase Barlow to hang on and make the tackle, but Mosley takes it to the 40-yard line. Gain of 13 and a first down.
Heavy, heavy cushion. He had almost a 7-yard cushion on that play. It's not going to work. We've seen him. He's been ready for that pass three times. He's dropped it twice, and now he caught it. And if they keep doing that all night, you're going to be in trouble.
Different receiver, but same concept. Same concept. So they get in the hands of Mosley, who you do have to give a little cushion to, or he'll run right by you. But here we go. From the 39-yard line of Strathaven, Blair with a pistol look, Wint behind him. They give it to Wint straight up the middle, and he's got a little bit of running room. Cuts to his right. Ebo Pio on the tackle from the free safety spot. Christian Mazur rides him down as well. They'll take it down to the Strathaven 33. Gain of seven more. And the Panthers bending here on the defensive side of the ball. We'll be inside a minute to play here in the first quarter when they snap it. Still no huddle for Haverford. Burgess split end to the right, Reynolds to the left. In the gun, Blair takes the low snap, looks to his left, fires to the outside. Another hitch pass complete to Mosley. He's dropped there by Barlow again, but not before he picks up the 20-yard line, and again, a 17-yard gain for a first down.
They're going to have to find an answer to that. They're going to be doing it all night long if they keep giving him 5 yards to work with.
That hitch is, again, it's a nice, easy throw in the sense of getting your quarterback in a rhythm there. And when you have athletes and speed on the outside, if the Panthers start pinching up, they may go right by you. All right, 44 seconds to play here in the opening quarter. Blair's got a first and 10 from the Strathaven 20. Shotgun look. Wint takes the handle. Nope, Blair's going to keep it himself. Good work there. Aiden Prochniak and friends wrap him up there at about the 18. So nice work there by Aiden to stay home. And
fake me out.
And, fake got me momentarily, but Blair with a keeper there for two, and it brings up second down and 8. So, again, nice work there by the defensive end, Aiden Prochniak, to keep him in the barn. All right, the focus for the defense this week was capture the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Keep him in front of you. Two hats to the ball. All right, here we go. Two receivers to the left, one to the right, and now you've got a flag on the play pre-snap. So thought that was going to be the last play of the first quarter, but it still may be.
Illegal procedure, it looks like.
You may have gotten somebody on the Haverford side flinching here. Dead ball. Yeah, false start against Haverford. So they're going to march it back 5 yards, turn this into second down. In about 12, put the football down at the Strathaven 13. All right, second and 13, I guess. All right, we'll reset the clock, restart the clock. 3, 2, 1, and we're going to switch sides of the field. All right, well, Strathaven's offense stalling through the first quarter. Haverford's defense was tough. One big play from Trey Blair is your difference. 7-0 at the end of one. We'll be back in just a moment. Second quarter action upcoming, and Haverford on the move right here on HavenFootball.net.
Selling or buying a home is serious business, and for serious business, the key to your success is to work with an experienced agent. Sandy McCauley has almost 20 years of real estate experience and is a seller representative specialist as well as a certified residential specialist. Sandy specializes in both Delaware and Chester County real estate. Sandy conveniently works out of the Media Berkshire Hathaway Home Marketing Center in Media. Let Sandra's experience be your advantage in today's multifaceted real estate market. Give Sandy a call at 610-368 86641.
This is Keith Jackson reminding you you're listening to High School Football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Welcome back to second quarter action. Brian Carroll bringing you play-by-play. Mike Mayer with the color commentary and engineering's stats and spotting from Pete Fulginetti and Andrew Kaufman. And 7-0 Haverford on top here on their own home field and trying to lengthen their 7-0 lead. It'll be second down and 13. From the Panther 23-yard line here. Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Sight lines are a little tricky.
25. No, 20.
Yeah, all right, from the 23.
Okay.
Shotgun snap and give is to Chase Wint. Wint off the right side. He's going to lower his shoulder, and Ibo Pio makes the stop, but not before he picks up the 15-yard line. Give him 8, and it'll bring up third down and 5.
Big so hole on the right side of that line. There was nobody there.
Wint with a good head of steam there, and they'll put it down just shy of the 15. At the 16, it's going to bring up third down and about 6, we'll call it. Justin Burgess split end to the right. Mosley to the left. I'm sorry, now I'm getting mixed up here. They switched sides of the field on me. Split end to the left is Burgess. Right is Mosley. Slot right is Sean Reynolds. On third and 6, Blair. Going to keep it himself. He fires to the outside. It's Reynolds got a one-on-one. Cuts inside. First down yardage across the 10-yard line. Good touchdown saving tackle by Chase Barlow. They're going to mark it just inside the 10. It'll be first and goal to go after a gain of 6.5. Well, nice little design there. Blair with just fake inside, and they just play one-on-one football there. Floated out to Reynolds in the slot, and he just cut inside. Nice block on the outside by Shane Mosley. All right, here we go. Two receivers to the left this time. They go tight end to the right, and wing right is Shane Mosley. They like to hand it to Mosley on sweeps out of this position. Wint in the backfield with Blair. They send Mosley in motion. They give it to him on the stretch play. The lefty turns upfield, and he is into the end zone for a Haverford touchdown. Well, we called it beforehand. They said they like to hand it to him. Get him in motion. Head of steam for number 3 in red. And Shane Mosley's six-yard run has stretched the lead 13-0 Haverford, 10:48 to play to play here in this first half. Well, Panther defense a moment ago gave up one big play. That one felt a little worse in the sense that it's, hey, just couldn't stop him. A couple of second and third down conversions there for the Fords, and Beef Wellington on for the extra point. Ball spotted. Kick is away. It is long enough. It is good. 14-0 Haverford. Nice drive there. A 60-yard scoring drive, and that's more offense than the Panthers have managed through the whole first quarter. So they'll try to get it going when we come back on HavenFootball.net.
Nobody covers the Delaware County high school sports scene like the Delaware County Daily Times. No matter what the season or the type of sport, from football to soccer to lacrosse to wrestling to track to basketball and baseball, virtually every high school sport for every high school in the Delaware County. For complete coverage of today's games, pick up your copy of the Delaware County Daily Times wherever newspapers are sold, or go online at www.delcotimes.com. If it happened in Delaware County, it's in the Delaware County Daily Times.
This is Keith Jackson reminding you you're listening to High School Football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Welcome back to Cornog Field. 14-0 Haverford. That's more points than the Panthers have given up in the first half all year. So they'll dig out of a hole here. And it's a line drive kickoff. It's going to angle towards Jarris Adams. He's going to have to... Nope, it hit the sideline and out of bounds it goes. All right. Well, they tried to pin him into the corner there. And good play by Adams just to walk away from it and let it roll out of bounds. So the Panthers will start at their 35-yard line, and illegal procedure is the call. And the Panthers with decent field position here to start their fourth drive of the game. First three finished with an Emmett Young punt. 22 total yards for the Panthers thus far through the first quarter. 146 for Haverford. Granted, 76 of it came on one play, but a very impressive 60-yard scoring drive capped a moment ago by Shane Mosley's touchdown. Chris Ouellette in at split end. He split to the left of the formation. Slot left to Zebo Pio. On first down, Ryder back to pass. Looking, fires to the outside, nobody home. Thought maybe Ouellette was looking for a hitch. He threw it 5 yards behind him. Ouellette was still running up field. All right, so some miscommunication there. Brings up second down and 10.
It's too bad because he very possibly could have been open for that. It wasn't a bad pass if Ouellette had been home.
Yeah. All right, well, in other news, Garnet Valley 21, Radnor nothing.
Ooh.
So Garnet Valley rolling on a big night over on Smithbridge Road at home. All right, Jason Stone in as a split end to the left. And on first down, they give to John Prochniak. Lots of running room straight up the middle. First down and more. Across midfield, Prochniak to the 46-yard line. That's what we're talking about there. 19 yards later, Prochniak with a Panther first down.
And he ran into his own blocker. I guess he didn't know which way the blocker was going to turn, run right up his back. If he had broken that was very possible. I don't know that he would have made a score, but another 4 or 5 yards easy.
All right, Pencrest 7, Ridley nothing. Avongrove trails Ruston 6-0. Here, 14-0 Haverford, but Strathaven on the move now. They're at the Haverford 47-yard line after a 17-yard run from Prochniak. On first down, they give it to Ebo Pio. Off the right side, cuts upfield, and he's got some room and one man to beat. Oh, shoot, string tackle at the 30-yard line where Pio'd still be going. Well, 17 yards later, Panthers with another first down.
Blair had kind of focused in on him. I got a feeling if Pio had managed to get away from that guy, Blair would have had him. But another 5 yards or so, but that's two great running plays. Obviously, whatever the philosophy is for Clancy, it's starting to pay off now in dividends.
Well, the decisive cut there from Ebo Pio. No dancing in the hole. That was one cut, put his right foot in the ground, and exploded through for 17. First and 10 from the 30. Split end to the left is Jason Stone. They give it on the sweep to Pio off that right side again. He cuts upfield, and he's got himself 4 or 5 more. We'll see when they unpile over on that far sideline, but nice lead block there from Matt Dowdy.
You know, we had spoken on the air last week about our running backs. You know, there are certain teams you can dance and play in the backfield and try to find a place. There are other teams you can't do that. You just got to follow the program and hit the hole. And I think they discovered that last week, and I'm sure that was a focus of practice this week over at Strathaven.
Second down and 6 from the Haverford 26. Split end is Stone. Motion man is Blake. They give it off the left side. Prochniak is going to be slung down by Chase Wint at the 25. Gain of just 1. And the Panthers will look at third and five here. Almost certainly four down territory at this point. Trailing by 14. 9:02 and counting to play here in the first half. Panthers trying to get the offense going and ending some points. Chester and Roman Catholic are scoreless at the end of the first quarter. So we'll keep you posted there. Jason Stone checks out. They go two tight ends here. Aiden Prochniak is the second tight end to the left. Wilson to the right. P.O. in the backfield. He goes in motion. They go rocket toss to the far sideline. P.O. trying to get that edge. Not much out there. And he's going to lose a yard back to the 25.
That's where speed kills.
And now here's a not a good sign for Haverford. Mosley hobbles off. Now under his own power, that's good. Hopefully he can walk that off. But Shane Mosley is going to take a breather here and holding his lower leg. So hopefully that's nothing too serious there. Jack Ryder and Chris Willett are going to bring in the play, but there's going to be timeout Haverford and as they resort their personnel with Mosley coming off the field. But big fourth down upcoming. Fourth and six for the Panthers when we come back. Stick with us. Glad you're listening live or on the archive to High School Football on HavenFootball.net.
Hi, this is Emmett Young, the kicker for Strathaven since 2016. For my senior season, I want my kicks to mean more than just points in a football game. I've partnered with Kick It and Alex's Lemonade Stand to raise money to find a cure for childhood cancer. Go to the link on havenfootball.net or in my Twitter bio, at EmmettYoung7, and pledge an amount for each point I score this season. And together, we can help kick childhood cancer. Thanks, and go Haven!
And it is good! Emmett Young pounds it through!
Ralph Lawler of the L.A. Clippers here. Keep listening to High School Football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Welcome back to Cornog Field in Havertown. 14-0 Haverford holding serve right now, but the Panthers trying to come out of the huddle with a big play on fourth and six. Chris Willett split end to the left. Slot left is Evo Pio. Motion man is Blake. Back to pass is Ryder. Looking, has time. Steps up, fires to the near sideline. Pio's out there, incomplete. Got his feet tangled at the goal line. In coverage is Blair. They were stride for stride. Ball slightly overthrown, and the Panthers have a promising drive. Turn over on downs.
I don't quite understand that play call. You've got, you know, good coverage. You've got a limited field. You throw it deep. I mean, it was a good pass. It just was a little long. Certainly not surprising, but you just needed 6 yards. I don't know. I think you... You keep it where your strength is and try to get the 6 yards. But in any event, it is what it is.
Third, so four possessions, and that one turned over on downs now. And the Panthers trailing 14-0 now have to find a way to slow down this Haverford offense. All right, moving left to right here in the second quarter. From their 26, it's Blair in the shotgun. Chase Wint on his left hip. He gives it to Wint, who's looking for room off the right side. Cuts up field, back to his left. He's going to run into Mazur and friends, but not before he picks up 8 more yards out to the Strathaven, out to the Haverford, rather, 34-yard line. Second down and 2 upcoming.
Right now, what Haven usually does to other teams are grinding out in the ground. Grinding it out in the ground is not being done to them. They're going to find some quick answers to stop this team, but they're going to 8-9 yard you to death all night long.
Second down and 2 as they break the huddle. 3 receivers, 2 to the left, 1 to the right. Trey Blair in the shotgun with Wint on his left hip. Barks out the signals on second and 2, and they give it to Wint, room off the right side. He's got himself a first down. Matt Schuler and others stack him up from there. But he picks up 4 out to the 38 and another first down. So they'll move the sticks with 7:15 to play here in the second quarter. Panther defense bending here. Their only stop of the game thus far was the opening
first
drive
series,
where Haverford dropped a couple of passes.
Yep, they really haven't stopped Haverford yet. And even when Haverford's being hit at the line, they're still getting 3 or 4 yards after the initial hit. So they're going to have to start making some stops here.
Wint, 5 carries for 32 yards here in the early going. He checks out, and they go wide, 5 wide here. Empty backfield. They like to run Blair out of this set quite a bit. He is going to keep it himself, and he takes off the right side, and he's going to bang his way for a couple, and there's flags in the backfield here. So you may end up with a holding call on top of it. Nice work by Barlow and Prochniak to step in on the tackle. And John Wilson's going to need a helmet fixed here. So, okay, equipment problem for Wilson. Panthers, he's going to have to come off the field because his helmet came off. Isaiah Freeman's going to check in at inside linebacker. So they're going to march off some yardage here. spot foul, and the Panthers, well, are they? Okay, yeah, all right. They're going to march it back. I was going to say, you don't want to decline the penalty there, right?
No,
I want to put them at first and about 19 here. Okay, so holding against Haverford will set them back here at least momentarily. Panther defense trying to find some answers here with 6:50 to play here in the second quarter.
I'd like to talk about a turnover potential, but right now I think Haven just got to focus on trying to stop Haverford on a straight, you know, three plays and out, or, you know, just turn it over on downs rather than trying to get a turnover.
Truman 12, Neshaminy 7. Marple Newtown and Upper Darby are scoreless after one. Here, went back in the game at halfback. Two receivers and a tight end to the right. Looking, firing to the outside. It is caught by Colin Nye, who's got himself about 6 yards out before Chase Barlow bangs him out of bounds. So well, they'll put it out to the 36-yard line.
They're definitely cutting down the buffer that they're giving him. But, of course, then the fear is that he'll act like he's going to take it, turn around, and take off on you. And by the time you realize he's gone, he's 10 yards behind you.
So second and 13. Colin Nye's first catch of the game. Has him set up at the 36-yard line. Blair looking to the short side of the field. Has some time. Now pressure coming from the backside. And they've got him! Sacked by Christian Major. Back inside the 35. They'll put it down at about the 32 or so. No, inside there. I'm sorry, the 28. So loss on the play of 8. And good work there. Major's second sack of the season right there.
That'll certainly help. No doubt about that. Now, can they? You got a third and 21.
Yeah.
So. Let's see if they can hold him here and force a punt. That'd be their first forced turnover since the beginning of the game.
Good coverage there by the Panther secondary as well. Blair had nowhere to go with that ball, and pressure from the backside, he never saw it coming. All right, third and 21. Blair in the gun, went on his right hip. Two receivers to either side. He just takes a low snap back to pass again. Looking for a little screen on this near sideline, in and out of the hands of Wint. Ball delivered just a little short. As Blair had to throw that in a straight back pedal there. That's a tough throw to make, and it falls to the turf.
Blair, I don't think Blair expected. I don't know whether the front line released a little too early or whether we just have better speed than they thought, because he was not expecting to be inundated with three white jerseys at that point.
So good pass rush there up front by the Panthers.
Oh, we got
they
the
tried
turnover
to set up
we looked
the screen.
For.
And, yep, so they first stop, second stop of the night for the Panther defense, hoping to get it in good field position here. Willette and Pio wait at their own 40-yard line. Blair will punt it for the second time. Takes the snap and booms one. He's going to send Pio backwards, who fields it at and juggles it momentarily. Now picks it up at the 26-yard line. Pio looking for running room up the right side. Going to try to get the edge over on that far sideline. And at the 35, just 6 on the return there. So Pio juggled that one. But, again, great kick from Blair. Had him in a back pedal there.
Absolutely. Lucky he made contact. He was able to keep it in front of him.
Right.
Well, sort of, right behind him, actually.
That's true. Yeah, if he lets it go, we're looking at a much longer field. So, all right, here we go. Panthers will try it again. Trailing 14-0, but they'll start at their own 35-yard line from the right hash, closest to the far sideline as they move right to left in this second quarter. 5:04 to play here before halftime. Haverford will get the football to start the second half. So the Panthers had a nice drive stall at the 26 last time, and they'll try it again here. To get things going. Two tight end set. Give is to P.O. off the right side. He's got some running room. Cuts up field for a few. Forward progress will give him about the 39 or so. Gain of about 3 or 4 when they unpile.
Starting to open up the front line now with some holes. They're getting a little bit of room for the running backs. Now they got to work on trying to seal off the linebackers to give these guys some breakout potential.
Just checking, scanning the field here. Is Shane Mosley back in the game?
3?
Yeah, I'm just looking... And he's a key part of that defense as well. I don't see him in there yet.
I don't see him on the bench either.
All right. So,
he is. He's right there.
All right. Second and 7. Motion man is Evan Blake from right to left. On the quick hitter, this is Prochniak, and they were waiting for him that time. He gets the 40 and nothing else. Good work there by Higson on the stop. Gain of just 2 for John Prochniak, and it'll bring up 3rd down and about 5.
It looks like Mr. Mosley may be have trouble with the evening. I don't think he's coming back in.
Where is he? Where are you seeing him?
Right there on the bench.
On the bench still.
He's
okay.
On the near sideline.
And he looks pretty upset.
Looking frustrated.
So badly for him. Nothing worse.
All right. So, hope for the best there for Shane, and hopefully it's nothing serious.
Yep.
But in the meantime, the Panthers will snap it from their own 40-yard line. 3:48 and counting to play in the first half. Panthers need a conversion here. Ryder gives to Blake, looking for him off this left side. He's going to have a first down, and Moore lowers the shoulder and picks up 6 yards. Terrific that tackle by White.
And that was terrific running by Blake. I mean, if he had danced, he probably would have taken down before the first down. He just put his shoulder down and said, look, I got to make another foot and a half here. He did, got the first down. Good for him. Good effort.
Great job by White. I thought for a moment there you're going to have a first down and a lot more, but they closed quickly, and good work, you said, Mike, lowered the pad level and got himself six and a fresh set of downs here for the Panthers.
You're much more interested in making the first down. I mean, obviously, love it if he goes for a touchdown, but the bottom line is play the percentages, get the first down.
Panthers with 72 yards on the ground now. Still nothing on the scoreboard. Eight men in the box. They give it to Prochniak straight up the middle for maybe three. Out to the 49-yard line. And, again, they're going to have to just slug away here, I would think. Passing game has not clicked just yet. 0-for-3 throwing it in the early going.
Well, if they try some 10-yard passes, they may have a little better success at it. I just don't know. This 35-yard stuff is tough for anybody to be able to make.
Clock will be. We're inside of 3 minutes to play here in the second quarter. Panthers will snap it from their own 49. Second down and about seven. Two tight end set. Wing to the left is Ebo Pio. They give it to they give it to Pio on the sweep. Nice fake to Prochniak. He's got room on that right side. And there's going to be a flag on the play that came in very late. And we'll see where they mark this. This is probably in the area of holding it is.
Yep.
And I can't imagine they're going to mark it off from there. That play was across the midfield stripe, and the flag's sitting at the 46. That cannot be the spot of the foul.
Unless it took forever to get that flag out of his belt.
Yeah, but they better not be marking it from the 46. The line of scrimmage was at the 49. There was nobody 3 yards in the backfield. That is a terrible spot at the very least. Goodness gracious. All right, well, tough break there for the Panthers. If they marked it back from the 46, I think they were off by about 5 yards there. And now you're looking at second down and forever. That's a shame. Not arguing the holding call.
I am arguing
why the flag is sitting 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. All right, here we go. Second down and 22. Panthers from their own 34-yard line have two tight ends. Chris Ouellette to the left, John Wilson to the right. P.O. in the backfield with John Prochniak. Wing right is Evan Blake. They give it to Prochniak, room off the right side, and he's going to get a good chunk of that penalty yardage back, and it'll bring up third down and 11 as he takes 11 yards out to the 45-yard line.
Another flag.
And now you've got a
timeout.
Strathaven with 2:01 to play before halftime. Coach Clancy wants to talk things over. Big third down upcoming. Trailing 14-0. We'll take a short timeout with them. Be back in just a moment. Thanks again to our sponsors for keeping us going and keeping us on the air week after week on HavenFootball.net.
PNC Bank has technology to help make banking easier, like a PNC Business line of credit or PNC Total Auto, a place online to easily find and finance the right car for you, or PNC Home Insight, to search for a new house within your budget. PNC, make today the day.
PNC Bank branches in Nether Providence and Swarthmore are ready to help you with all your banking needs. Stop by and say hello. Make today the day.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ron Jaworski, former Philadelphia Eagles quarterback, and you're listening to high school football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Thank you, Jaws, for sending it back. 2:01 to play before halftime. Strathaven trailing 14-0. Now 3rd and 11 at their own 45-yard line. Just coming out of a timeout. Hoping to draw up a big play here. Slot left is Ebo Pio. Split left as well. They give it to Prochniak off the left side. They tried to spread everybody out, and they give him the midfield stripe for a gain of 6, and it'll bring up 4th down.
All right, coach, what do you do?
5. Now clock ticks. 150, 149, 148. I think the Panthers are going to go for it here.
I think they are. First thing I try to do is draw them off so you get a little bit closer.
Yep. Could go with a hard count and then see what happens. Jimmy White in on the stop along with Brian Klee
for
Haverford. Ouellette checks out. Second tight end, Aiden Prochniak, checks in. You're right, Mike. This is
taking an awful long time,
guys. Take a look at that back judge here. No, nobody with their hand in the air. It is now.
Yep.
Panthers.
He's
five
got
seconds,
5 seconds.
4 seconds. 3 seconds. Oh, now he's counting it down. Okay, they will get the play off, maybe. Hard count. Nobody. Ryder bobbing that head, and they're going to call timeout. Nothing doing. Good work there by the Panthers. By the Fords, rather.
Fords, yeah.
To stay in their stance. So the ball's sitting on the midfield stripe. Coach Clancy calls timeout, and now decision time, and it looks like the punt team will come on. All right, so 1:11 to play here before halftime, and Emmett Young will kick it away for the fifth time tonight. And get now you just got to take care of. Yeah, they called Panthers called timeout, so they won't march off 5 yards for a delay game. Clancy was over on that far sideline watching it.
So that was the plan.
Yeah. Okay.
That was the plan.
Well, so in the meantime, I like the idea of like spreading them out a little bit. They put that PO rather than a wing, kind of a slot position. It gives spread out the defense a little bit. And Prochniak picked up five, but that holding penalty, and more importantly, I think the spot on the holding penalty really comes back to bite you right there.
It's again, we don't generally argue about penalties, but we've had some issues in the past several games. Fortunately, not the Radnor game, and I think the same crew was in the Radnor game.
All right, here we go. Emmett Young ready to kick it away. High snap. It goes through his hands, and now it's a jailbreak. Emmett Young looking for room, and he's going to try to step into it, and he punts it sideways towards the sideline. Good play by Emmett to just kick it out of bounds, but this is going to be disaster for the Panthers. Could have been worse. Emmett did what he could, but the high snap has him kick it sideways out of bounds at the 32-yard line. So you started at the 50 there. And instead of tilting the field, it's gone the other way. And now with 1 minute to play, a very short field for Haverford.
Yep.
They have great field position and will get the ball to start the second half.
And, boy, this game, if Haven finds a way to come back, I mean, an extra 7 points can make all the difference in the world.
Trey Blair now with some pep in his step. Two receivers to either side, and Haverford with timeouts in their pocket and a short field here from the 32. Wentz in the backfield. Blair takes the shot, low snap, looking, tries to fire a little middle screen underneath. It's complete, and room for Burgess, and he's running into the arms of John Prochniak and Evan Blake. So they'll pick up about 7 or 8 on the play. Timeout Haverford with 48 seconds to play here before halftime. So disaster strikes right there. Quick score updates from elsewhere while Haverford's in timeout. Academy Park is down in West Virginia tonight. Second year in a row, they're playing Martinsburg. Martinsburg is the 3A state champ 3 years running now in West Virginia. So Academy Park certainly testing themselves. They trail Martinsburg right now in the end of the first quarter, 14-0. Penwood taking on a team from Virginia tonight at home, so just down the road in Sharon Hill. 7-6, Penwood's on top. Garnet Valley all over Radnor, 28-0, midway through the second over there. Let me see what else we can get you from nearby. Got a lot of District 11 updates, but Harry S. Truman all over Neshaminy, 19-7 now. A block punt return, the difference there. CB West trying to stay undefeated. They're up 14-0. And here, second down and three. Chase Wint on the right hip of Blair, who's in the gun. On second and three, they going to be Blair going to keep her off the right side. He's got a bottom of the shirt collar. Nice work there by Aiden Prochniak to hang on. Blair's going to pick up. I don't know. They're going to stop the clock. Timeout called, or did he get a first down? All right, he got enough for a first down as they unpile. All right, so they will reset, and under center, Blair's going to spike the ball as just 3 seconds went off the clock there. Brings up second and 10 from the 21. So nice heads-up work there by Haverford.
Save his last timeout if he needs it.
One timeout remaining there for Haverford. They are likely in field goal range now for Beef Wellington. But 36 seconds to play here. They can still pick up another first down or two, perhaps, as they'll snap it from the Strathaven 21. Burgess slot to the left. Reynolds split to the left. No, I'm sorry. Reynolds now slot to the right. Nye split right. In the gun is Blair, two receivers each side. Juggles the snap, it's on the turf. He's going to pick it up and run, and Aiden Prochniak wraps him up there at about the 15. So he still finds a way to pick up 6 yards out of that. And it'll be a final timeout called by Joe Gallagher and Haverford. So from the 28, with 28 seconds to go, we're going to be looking at third down and about 6. Now, here's the other challenge for Haverford. Unless you throw an incomplete pass on third down, anything in the field of play, unless you rush the line and spike it, you're not going to have time to run a field goal team on there at this point.
Right.
So you're probably playing for 6 here. Probably take your shots at the end zone, or at least maybe work that hitch game again. Try to throw to the outside, tell your guys step out of bounds. Get your first down and step out. But third down and 4 is what we'll have here as they break their huddles.
Of course, with Blair rolling out, I mean, he is so dangerous that even if he's anything downfield, he can just streak to out of bounds.
Cheltenham 9, Quakertown 0. Panthers trying to get things going It's been a tough start for Cheltenham early. Here, third and four from the 15. Blair in the gun. Two receivers to either side. Chase Wendt in the backfield with him. Takes a snap. Looking. Has time. Steps up. Fires to the end zone. Has a man out there. It is juggled and incomplete. Very good coverage there by Chase Barlow. Nice pass. Great effort from Colin Nye. Just could not connect with Barlow on his hip. So now, fourth and four from the 15. You'd be looking at a 32-yard field goal, and the Fords are going to say, nope, yep, we're going for it. They go no huddle. And now, oh, nope, here, wait a minute. They're going to have to figure it out. They've got no timeouts.
They better hike the ball and yeah, ground it.
You can't. Clock has stopped. It's fourth down.
Oh.
So they're going to end
right,
up with a – they're going to hustle the field goal team on here, Beef Wellington on. It'll be out of the hold of number 18, the backup quarterback, Andrew McGinnis. Wellington from 32 yards away. Snap is a high one, spotted nicely. Kick is away. It is long enough, and it is good. Snuck it inside the left upright, and the Panthers trail it 17-0 as Wellington hooks one through. And special teams mistake for the Panthers there is a big difference. Coach Clancy, I'm sure, on the far sideline is arguing, how long was the play clock there?
Yeah.
My goodness. There was some confusion whether they wanted to go for it or kick. And, boy, that was, again, Clancy, hey, it is what it is.
Yep.
We weren't sitting here with a stopwatch or anything. But
yeah, no, I can't. I mean, that's not something I could really argue about. You don't know when they started. And
All right.
There is no play clock on the field, so there's, you know, it's up to the referee.
Jarris Adams and Matt Schuler flank Ebo Pio awaiting the kickoff here. It's just 18 seconds to play here before halftime. 17-0 Fords who take advantage of a tough punt snap as a special teams mistake for the Panthers proves costly here before halftime. All right. Dan Bebo has it teed at the 40-yard line. He approaches, and it's a high, short end-over-end kick. It's going to come to John Wilson. Wilson with some running room at the 25 and then stopped very quickly at the 30. So the Panthers will have 14 seconds, one timeout.
Think you
from
go
their
for
own
it?
30-yard line. Well, maybe take a deep shot down the field, but you risk throwing that ball anywhere near Trey Blair. He
yep,
could take it coming the other way. There's a risk involved there. So yep, I don't know. Wouldn't shock me to see something pretty simple or see if Prochniak can pop one here. Again, you still have a timeout. If you can get one play for, say, 10 to 15 yards and then maybe yep, take a shot from midfield, but from their 30, the Panthers have Jason Stone split end to the left. Ryder under center, three backs behind him. Motion man is Evan Blake from right to left. They give it to Prochniak. He is going absolutely nowhere. Four red shirts in his lap, and Chase Wendt makes him pay. 6 seconds, 5 seconds. Panthers not interested in snapping it again, and they will take it to the halftime locker room. So, great start here for Haverford. They have been on a roll since a tough couple of weeks to start the season. Joe Gallagher has the Fords moving. He said before the season, this is one of the physically stronger teams I've had. And, hey, we can't argue with that.
Not at all.
The way they've handled the line of scrimmage, it's been mostly Haverford, 177 yards of total offense in the early going. They're mixing run and pass quite well, and they lead it, deservingly so, 17-0 after the first two quarters. We'll be back in a few moments for some halftime chatter, scores, and a whole lot more. Stay with us on HavenFootball.net.
Your car is probably your second biggest investment, and AMF Auto Clinic in Brookhaven wants to keep that investment in tip-top shape. AMF Auto Clinic has been maintaining automobiles since 1961, and they take pride in their work and in keeping your car in perfect running order. From inspections to general maintenance and repair, you can trust your auto investment to AMF Auto Clinic in Brookhaven. Call for an appointment today at 610-872-2167. Selling or buying a home is serious business, and for serious business, the key to your success is to work with an experienced agent. Sandy McCauley has almost 20 years of real estate experience and is a seller representative specialist as well as a certified residential specialist. Sandy specializes in both Delaware and Chester County real estate. Sandy conveniently works out of the Media Berkshire Hathaway Home Marketing Center in Media. Let Sandra's experience be your advantage in today's multifaceted real estate market. Give Sandy a call at 610-368-6641.
PNC Bank has technology to help make banking easier, like a PNC Business line of credit or PNC Total Auto. a place online to easily find and finance the right car for you. Or PNC Home Insight, to search for a new house within your budget. PNC, make today the day.
PNC Bank branches in Nether Providence and Swarthmore are ready to help you with all your banking needs. Stop by and say hello. Make today the day.
Stop by Berman's Health Shop today for premium CBD oil, organic and Colorado grown. The best you can buy at a great value. We educate and talk you through the process of using CBD oil. Give us a call to learn how people are dropping traditional medicines for CBD. Call us at 610-874-8418. Trust the authority. Trust Berman's.
Welcome to the At the Half Halftime Report with Mike Mayer, Pete Fulginetti, and Statman Andrew Kaufman. Tonight's report is sponsored by Sandy McCauley, your Century 21 Executive Group Real Estate Broker, a lifelong Delaware County resident.
Welcome back to Cornhusker Field, where, boy, Haven has taken a bit of a beating. 17-0 Haverford. Haven's like seeing it all. Can't seem to get their offense going. I question one of the play calls, one of the officiating calls. And then a high snap on a punt that cost them field position and ended up costing them 3 points. And that's where we're at, 17-0. Pete, what's your thoughts?
Well, Mike, my thoughts are the Panthers, you know, I don't know if it's just me, but when they come out of their huddle and they go up the line, they're just a little sluggish tonight. They just don't seem to have that spark that we've seen the first four games. But you got to give Haverford a lot of credit. They have the speed, the quickness, and I think Wagon I can see when, for example, P.O. tries to run wide, he gets wide and he stops to look for a hole. By the time that hole, he sees it, it's closed,
right?
Because this team is the quickest team we've faced so far this season. You can't do those plays. You have to just cut up and get whatever yards you can get. That's the only way they can move the ball. If they continue to dance and look for holes, they're not going to find those holes.
Right. We were looking at the stats here that Andrew's got, and as an example, Haven's got 23 rushing plays for 89 yards, and Haverford's got 14 for 131. Now, part of that was Blair's run from scrimmage where he took off. I mean, that was a breakaway play, but even if you take that away from them, just for the sake of argument, you've got a legitimate 10-0 score here that was all drives and things that Haven couldn't stop. You saw a little bit of success at the end. Haven was with a 4th and 6, and decided to go to the end zone 45 yards away. I don't understand that. I mean, that's not a high percentage
fourth
play.
4th and 6.
Yeah.
4th and 6. Yeah, I would have never done that play. I would have tried to get the first down.
Yeah, I mean,
you're not going to beat these guys. You got to just peck away at them for two reasons. You move the ball, and you can score. And the second reason is they won't have the ball.
Well, that's true, although the clock now is not our friend. I mean,
no.
Haverford's going to get the ball first. If they can run, you know, can run the field and use up, 5, 6, 7 minutes and put another 70 yards down and score, boy, it's going to be – then you got to go to the air.
Personally, Mike, we're Haven fans, but if Haverford doesn't turn the ball over in the second half, it's going to be extremely hard to come back and win this game. First of all, like you said, Haverford's going to get the ball, so even if they don't score and they control the clock, we'll still have – 3 scores to make in the quarter and a half. It's very, very difficult here. I think the only thing that can bring Haven back here is turnovers. If Haverford plays turnover free, this is going to be a tough game.
Yeah, well, I think, Haven's going to come back and try to pound it on the ground. They won't have time to do that effectively for 3 scores, which is what they'll need. And that's assuming they stop Haverford the entire second half. I don't know if that's even possible. So we'll have to see. Andrew, what's your observations?
It's been all Haverford pretty much this game. They've controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. They've gotten better push. That's something we aren't used to seeing this year. Strathaven's offensive line has tended to get a better push against most of these teams because they are a senior. They have a full line of seniors, but tonight they're running into another team that also has seniors all across their offensive and defensive lines.
And I've been watching the front lines, and they are getting at best a draw out of it, which you can't do on offense. And on defense, I mean, Haverford's definitely opened up holes, and they're not, Haven is not making the sticks and the stops they have to. Even when they hit the running back at the line of scrimmage or shortly beyond the line of scrimmage, that running back is still managing to power up for another 4, 5, 6, 7 yards on second effort.
You know what I noticed also, Mike? Prozniak, when the first few games when we saw him break away, he broke away. He can't run away from these defenders. Even when he gets a 10-yard gain, they catch him from either the side or a step behind him. They're just so quick to the ball. They cover the ends, and they close down the middles. It's just a real defense.
If this was a 10-0 game or a 7-0 game, you don't need the breakaway as much. You just need the consistent effort in the scoring. Now with a 17-0 ball game, I mean, even if Haven comes in and lights the world on fire, what do we think? A couple of scores? I mean, that's still a losing game.
I think they got to pull some tricks out of their hat. Maybe let that rush come in, and I don't even know if they have it in their playbook.
A draw,
screen. Screen pass.
The screen would be good. A slant pass is anything short.
You know who I'd like to see play a little in the second half? Adams. Our junior Adams. He's speed. I know he's an underclassman, and he doesn't get a lot of playing time, but I like to see him get the ball in open spaces and see what he can do.
If you're going to play Adams and you're not going to give it to Prozniak, you're not going to give it to P.O., I mean, I don't know that that's a philosophy that I would
live. Well,
then
they'll have to give it to me, I guess.
Oh, you and I are both. I would be good for 4 or 5. I'd be hard to get down for the first 3 or 4 yards. If you give me the ball twice in a row, I would need to go to the hospital, I think, assuming they didn't kill me when they tackled me, so... In any event. Well, all right, so we'll see what happens in the second half. Haverford gets the ball first. Haven's going to have to make a quick stop, get the ball, and score if they have any shot.
I think my final thing here is, without any turnovers, if Haverford does not commit a turnover in the second half, they will win this game.
Well, I would tend to think that you're probably more right than wrong.
Yeah.
Andrew, any final thoughts before we move on to others?
I think Haven needs to generate a turnover at some point to just get a little bit of a momentum back on their side, because – they haven't had any in this game.
Oh, a good breakaway could change momentum, too, but whatever.
Yeah.
At the end
actually, it's been a good both ways. Has there been any turnovers either side?
No turnovers in this game yet.
No, really.
It's been a very well-played game.
Snap.
You know, the Fords have had the better of the Panthers. That's all you can say.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's, you know, as of right now, Fords are definitely the better team than the Panthers.
From what I see.
No doubt about that. I mean, unless we see something in the second half, we'll change that. So... All right, we're not talking about any baseball anymore because that's kind of useless.
They won't make the playoffs.
We've been saying this for the entire season that they won't make the playoffs.
It was going to be a decent scoring affair, and the Eagles were going to win last week. So,
but I didn't know all the receivers were going to get hurt.
Yeah,
in
we didn't
pregame warm up.
If you're going to be a prognosticator, that was the word.
I don't know what they are, but they certainly prognosticator.
Yeah,
with all that happened last week, Mike, to the Eagles, all the injuries and everything, they still could have won that game if Aguilar catches that ball coming down the sidelines. They were one play away from winning the game.
Or if Ertz runs another half yard downfield.
Yeah.
If Ertz runs the ball runs down and breaks off his route another half yard downfield, then. There's the first down. They've still got a chance to win that ball game.
Andrew, what is your outlook for the Eagles against the Lions on Sunday?
The Lions, it's an interesting one. The Lions have a good front seven, I think. Sayamala needs to shore up his game. He was not good on Sunday night. If he can turn it around, I think the Eagles' offensive line is going to turn around to dominate. And I think it's going to be a close game. They're playing at home. They're missing probably a couple of their top weapons. I think it's an Eagles win 20-17.
Look for the Eagles to run the ball a little more, a little Howard, and let's get Miles Sanders out in some open space and see what he can do.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I'd agree with that.
Get the run game going.
And we
are going to get the Haverford band's going to come on right after this. So I guess we'll go to a commercial break. Brian, you got scores and stuff for us when we come back? All right, Brian's ready to go. So let's go back to a quick commercial. And then we'll come back and see what's happening as we approach the second half on havenfootball.net. Stay tuned for the second half of the game.
High school basketball season is just around the corner, and DelcoHoops.com will be bringing you all the excitement and thrills of another season of Delaware County High School Hoops. We follow all the teams in Delco, and we pick our free Game of the Week broadcast to bring you the best live games right on the internet. We feature the best teams and the best games right through the PIAA championships. If you love high school basketball, you've got to check us out at DelcoHoops.com. High school basketball never sounded so good.
Keith Jackson reminding you you're listening to High School Football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Welcome back to Cornog Field here at Haverford High School. 17-0 Haverford on top of Strathaven here. So we have some score updates from around District 1 and District 12. We'll start with the stuff closest to home here in Delaware County. Non-league action for Chichester tonight. They lead Bishop Shanahan 14-0. Staying in the Del Val. Chester at Roman Catholic. Chester, again, 4-0 start. They've been terrific on defense, but they trail Roman Catholic 9-6 at halftime. So, again, some good things going on down at Chester.
It's a good game.
But, again, yeah, tight game here. Roman Catholic just 1-3 on the season, but, of course, they play a very tough PCL, Philadelphia Catholic League schedule and so forth. But, again, Chester hanging tough with Roman at the moment. That's a tight one, 9-6. Also, staying in the Del Valle League, Academy Park down in West Virginia, they trail now 21-8 to Academy Park. Also, hosting an out-of-state game, though, Penwood, trying to bounce back after a big loss a couple weeks ago. They looked good last week in a win over Upper Darby, and now they are leading, 14-6 over Massaponics, Virginia. So Penwood looking to go to 4-1. That's a win there would vault them up near the top of the 5A standings again. So, again, looking good there. Also, another Del Valle team that we saw earlier in the year, Interborough, again, with a tough one. Pottsville coming down, a long trip for Pottsville to come all the way down to Glen Olden, but it's 21-8 at the moment. Ooh. Pottsville trying to put Interborough at 0-5 on the season. So uncharacteristically young and inexperienced team for Coach Steve Lennox, and they just haven't been able to put it together. Sun Valley trailing Kennett 21-0. Kennett looking to go to 5-0, and that would drop Sun Valley to 0-5.
Yeah, Sun Valley had the trouble this year.
But Kennett surprised some people already, has already beaten Ruston, has already beaten Unionville. That's for the first time beating those schools since they brought football back in 2005.
Really?
So Kennett, Blue Demons, they're playoff bound already, let's put it that way. But they're looking for a playoff home game if they keep this up. All right, closer to home in the Central League now. Lower Merion trailing Springfield 7-0 last we heard. Marple
that
Newtown.
That is now 21-0 Springfield.
21, okay, all right. That's more like it for Springfield fans. And, of course, that game being played at Strathaven tonight. Springfield's field is under construction at the moment. But speaking of other fields, field renovations, Upper Darby opening their home turf at Memorial Field tonight, but they trail now 10-0 at halftime. Marple with a 35-yard field goal at the second quarter gun there. So, again, Marple Newtown looking to go to 5-0, lead Upper Darby 10-0, and they come our way next week,
yes,
right?
Yes, they do.
So, again, it could be 5-0. Marple against 4-1 Strathaven, unless the Panthers can turn this around. But again, that should be a good one at George L. King next week. But of course, Upper Darby still with two halves to play with, and my guess is they don't want to, you know, have some other team come in and christen their turf on opening night in this manner. All right, other scores around the Central League. Pencrest jumped out on Ridley 7-0. Ridley scored 28 in a row.
Okay.
So it's now 28-7. Ridley on top of Pencrest at the moment. And again, what was expected to be a big game, a close game perhaps, is not the case on Smith Bridge Road tonight. It's being featured tonight. I think CBS3 is doing their game of the week and so forth. But Garnet Valley and Radnor is a total rout, and it'll be mercy rule in the second half.
Wow.
35-0, all Garnet Valley tonight over in Glen Mills.
And boy, we had trouble against Radnor, so,
so
what are we going to go? That's going to be a buzzsaw when we face off against
Garnet
Valley.
Hey, that's a month away.
Got to play the game, man.
Month away. You never know what can happen with personnel and you know, teenage emotions and everything else that come into these games week to week. So elsewhere around District 1, William Penn Charter all over Upper Dublin. Upper Dublin, a 5A power, defending champs in 5A in District 1. Well, they went a little bit out of their league tonight. Penn Charter 35, Upper Dublin nothing in non-league action there. Also, Westchester Henderson versus Westchester East. It's all East, 21-0 so far. Westchester East, again, I would expect they're probably a top four type seed in the 5A playoffs when this is all said and done at the end of October. Up in the Suburban One League, up on WNPV, Daryl Dobas and Kevin Cooney, our buddies up there broadcasting tonight. Souderton 14, Penridge 7. Springford over Norristown 28-7. As well, Pottsgrove in the Pac-10 on top of Pottstown, 13-0. Pottsgrove just 1-3, but they've played a brutal non-league schedule. My guess is they will bounce back nicely within their league. A couple other scores as well. Up in Bucks County, Harry S. Truman 26, Neshaminy 20 now. So that's a close one. That's been back and forth most of the night. Downingtown East all over Great Valley, 41-0 in the first half. Central Bucks South 27, Ben Salem nothing. Avengrove trails Ruston 15-7. Ruston finally has a night game. I'm not sure if you've been following that.
No,
but,
I have not.
Okay, Ruston after what? When did they build that school? 2006 or so?
Yeah.
They've had night football games forever. Now apparently there are complaints from neighbors. So Ruston has played their home games in any number of places. They played a home game at Unionville a couple weeks ago. Very frustrating, but they got that game back on their turf tonight, and they're taking care of business right now, leading Avengrove 15-7. So hopefully that's all resolved, and those kids get to play home games. What a shame that is at the moment. Wissahickon on top of Happer-Horsham 7-0, and Coatesville leads Unionville 13-7. One more Delaware County game in the Catholic League going on right now. We're at halftime. Archbishop Carroll 7, Cardinal O'Hara nothing. So that's kind of your roundabout way of... Well, that's not the most direct route to get your way around Philadelphia and the suburbs the way I just drew it up. But, again, we'll try to keep you posted as best we can as we get score updates. And many, many thank yous to PA Prep Live and WNPV and everybody else on Twitter who's updating the scoreboard and so forth. So we'll keep you posted there. We'll be back in a few moments. The Haverford Band is on the field, sounding terrific. The Haverford football team's been terrific as well. See, looking for Haven to bounce back for second half action at havenfootball.net.
You probably have a deductible of $500 on your car insurance. Why shouldn't it shrink each year you drive safely? Allstate thinks it should, down to nothing. Can you afford not to be in good hands?
Your local Allstate agent is Steve Taub in media. Give him a call at 610-566-3500 for all your insurance needs.
Nobody covers the Delaware County high school sports scene like the Delaware County Daily Times. No matter what the season or the type of sport, from football to soccer to lacrosse to wrestling to track to basketball and baseball, virtually every high school sport for every high school in the Delaware County. For complete coverage of today's games, pick up your copy of the Delaware County Daily Times wherever newspapers are sold, or go online at www.delcotimes.com. If it happened in Delaware County, it's in the Delaware County Daily Times.
Selling or buying a home is serious business, and for serious business, the key to your success is to work with an experienced agent. Sandy McCauley has almost 20 years of real estate experience and is a seller representative specialist as well as a certified residential specialist. Sandy specializes in both Delaware and Chester County real estate. Sandy conveniently works out of the Media Berkshire Hathaway Home Marketing Center in Media. Let Sandra's experience be your advantage in today's multifaceted real estate market. Give Sandy a call at 610-368-6641.
Your car is probably your second biggest investment, and AMF Auto Clinic in Brookhaven wants to keep that investment in tip-top shape. AMF Auto Clinic has been maintaining automobiles since 1961, and they take pride in their work and in keeping your car in perfect running order. From inspections to general maintenance and repair, you can trust your auto investment to AMF Auto Clinic in Brookhaven. Call for an appointment today at 610-872-2167.
Welcome back to the second half of tonight's Strathaven football game. Tonight's sponsors are Steve Taub's Allstate Insurance and Media, Auto, Home, and Life. You're in good hands with Allstate. The Delaware County Daily Times, all high school sports every day. If it happens in Delaware County, it's in the Delaware County Daily Times. AMF Auto Clinic, taking care of your cars since 1961, located in Brookhaven on Edgemont Avenue. PNC Bank branches in Nether Providence and Swarthmore, your friendly neighborhood bank. Make today the day. Sandy McCauley at Berkshire Hathaway Home Services and Media. Give her a call when buying or selling your home. Berman's Health Shop, for all your vitamins, herbs, and supplements in Brookhaven. Now back to the second half with Brian Carroll, Pete Fulginetti, Andrew Kaufman, and Mike Mayer.
Welcome back to A.G. Cornog Stadium in Havertown. Haverford 17, Strathaven nothing, as the bands are leaving the field and the players are getting back on to get themselves warmed up. Thanks for joining us live or on the archive. A beautiful night for football. Just, again, perfect fall weather here. The occasional T-shirt, the occasional sweatshirt, you know, and, again, just perfect weather here. And it's been a perfect run here for Haverford in the early going. You heard from Pete and Mike and Andrew at halftime. As far as first downs are concerned, it's pretty even. Six first downs for Haverford, five for Strathaven. But, hey, it's a couple of mistakes there for the Panthers. A 76-yard scoring run where Trey Blair just broke containment on the second drive of the game, his first carry of the game. They figured out how fast he was. and after that,
they didn't know that from last year.
After that, they've bottled him up for the most part. So, you know, aside from that one, they've held him to just 11 yards rushing on six carries. But 7 for 87 and the first Haverford score put the Panthers on their heels just a little bit. Shane Mosley, two carries for 12 yards and a touchdown, but left the game in the second quarter. So we'll keep an eye on Shane to see if he's back in action for the second half or not.
Yeah, he looked pretty depressed on the bench. Yeah. I'm assuming he was not feeling good.
And then another key mistake for the Panthers, a high punt snap over the head of Emmett Young. Instead of tilting the field, maybe, you know, Panthers, I'm sorry, the Fords may have been looking at, say, a 70 or 80-yard field with a reasonable punt.
Right.
Instead, Emmett Young has to go back to his inside his 30-yard line, scoop it up, and just kick it sideways out of bounds to avoid, you know, a touchdown on a punt block or something like that. So, again, it was just a 30-yard field for Haverford just before halftime. Was not handled perfectly in terms of timeouts, clock management, players running on and off the field, but enough where Beef Wellington, Ryan Wellington is his birth name, but they have him on the roster as Beef, one of the best nicknames we've had here in a while.
Absolutely.
And he hooks a 32-yard field goal just inside the left upright on almost the final play of the half. So, 17-0 is where we stand. The Panthers with 89 yards of offense, all of it on the ground. John Prochniak leading the way, 13 carries for 63 yards. Ebo Pio, 6 for 22. Evan Blake, 4 for 4 yards. And, again, nothing doing in the passing game just yet. 0 for 3
nope.
throwing it
nope.
For the Panthers.
But when you look at what Haverford's been able to do in the passing game, which has not been stellar numbers, I think they're 5 for 9. Is that
yeah,
what
5 for 10, I think.
5 for 2. Mm-hmm. You know, not lightning yards, but you know, they're getting the first downs with it. And that, of course, is the kind of passing game I'd like the Panthers to do. I've been doing this for 15 years,
while,
so I don't think I'll be seeing it anytime soon. But that's what I think is most effective in high school football, just another reason to get the ball outside, see if they get some running room out of it, and at the very least, making the completions and getting the 5 to 7 yards. And, you know, when you look at Haverford's offense, say, well, this is pretty well balanced, particularly for a high school team. You know, they've got an outside passing threat. They've got a running quarterback. They've got good, you know, they're certainly putting some good holes in the front line to run through. It's just you don't know where they're going to come after. I'm a little surprised they haven't, you know, thrown more, only because Havens is playing it so loose, trying to give these guys a buffer. Now, they've shut that down a little bit, but they're still pretty open. But on the other hand, Haverford's only had a punt twice, right? First possession,
right.
And then
yep.
once again during the first half. So, you know, whatever they're doing is working and getting them in the first downs and getting them into the end zone. So, you know, the Haven kind of, you know, escaped with only 3 points on that muffed snap for a punt. I will be surprised if this game comes down to those 3 points, but you never want to give up points if you don't have to.
Couple other quick score updates. Roman Catholic has extended their lead a bit on Chester with a field goal, so 12-6, the Cahillites on top. One other score to mention, Malvern Prep on top of Berks Catholic, 21-0. Malvern Prep winless so far, so that's a team that's struggling in the early going and looking for win number one tonight. And one other Central League score, I don't know how I missed this one, Conestoga 35, Harrington 7. So Conestoga and Harrington, we knew going in tonight, someone's coming out of there with their first win of the season, and right now it looks like the Pioneers on their home turf up in Berwyn. So 24-0 Cheltenham now on top of Quakertown. Quakertown's had a rough go of it as well. And Abington now has a score They lead Council Rock South 7-0. So we'll try to keep you posted on other things as we hear them. But, again, looks like we're getting ready for second-half action. The players are on the field. The lineups have broken their huddles and heading into kickoff formations on either side of the ball. Fords will receive the opening kickoff here in the second half and move right to left in front of us. Last time we were here, we had ourselves a big play in that game. Last time we were here at this field, 23-17, Haverford knocked off Strathaven that night, and the opening kickoff of the second half was juggled inside the 5-yard line and picked up for a 99-yard kick return score. Please. For Carrington Wells. That's going back to 2016. But here we are in front of us. Emmett Young ready to kick it away for the first time tonight. High end over end kick. This is going to come down to, I believe, Burgess at the 5-yard line. At the 10, 15, 20 up the right hash mark, and runs into a wall of Panther tacklers at about the 28-yard line there. Cole Peichel leading the way on the stop for the silver and black.
I do not see Mr. Mosley on the sideline, unfortunately.
All right. Not a good sign there.
No,
so hopefully he's
all
getting himself checked out.
Yep.
And nothing too serious there for Shane. So thoughts, positive thoughts there for the Fords co-captain. All right. So in the meantime, the Panther defense has a good offense standing in front of him. Trey Blair in the huddle has 4 wide receivers. 3 receivers to his left, 1 to his right over there is Colin Nye. Chase Wint on his left hip. They'll snap it from the 29-yard line at the right hash. Moving right to left. Here is Blair in the shotgun. He's looking to his left now, keeps it himself. Quarterback draw here, steps away from one man, but the Panthers contain him nicely. Good work there by Major and John Prochniak on the stop. Forward progress across the 30 to the 31, but it'll bring up second down and about 8. So we mentioned it, at halftime. Aside from that 76-yard burst, which taking nothing away because that was
an
enormous play in the game, Panthers have done a good job so far on Shane, Trey Blair.
And Blake almost had him, didn't he? Yeah. Had him in grass, but he got a piece of him, but couldn't hold on.
All right, second and 8. 2 wide receivers to the right this time. They bring a tight end into the game, and they go wing to the left with Reynolds. Blair gives to Wint. Nope. Yep, they do give it to Wint. Nice decision there from Blair, and Wint hops his way to the 35. Good job by John Prochniak, hanging on for dear life there to slow him down at the 36. Brings up third down, and about 3. Good decision from Blair as Christian Mazur stayed home that time and was about to eat his lunch in the backfield there. So good job handing it off. Again, a lot of this read option, RPO type stuff in the backfield for the senior quarterback. And again, you got some good athletes back there, obviously. Sean Reynolds being one of them. He's winged to the right. 2 receivers to the left. Panthers nearly jump, but they hold their spot, give it to Wint. He bounces it out to the left, and he's not going to get through Christian Mazur. Mazur hangs on, and they sling him down. Good work there. But forward progress only to the line of scrimmage. It brings up 4th down and 3, and the Panther defense has held so far. Decision time for Coach Gallagher? No, they're going to play it safe be smart here.
I think they have to. But you know, this is the one objective that Haven had to have, which is to – you know, get Haverford turnover on downs, which they have done. So now we got to see if they can go plan B, which is let's get some offense going.
4th and 4, and Blair on to punt it away. Pio and Willette await the punt at the 30-yard line. Wobbly snap, but he steps into it, and he lets it go. High, terrific kick. This is angling away from Pio, takes a sideways bounce, and out of bounds at the 27-yard line. Tremendous punt from Blair. He can do it all. It's just that simple.
That's why they mark him as an athlete.
38 yards, no return on the punt, and Jack Ryder brings the offense out. They'll start from their own 27, moving left to right in front of us here. 9:36 to play in the third quarter. Pottsville's extended their lead at halftime now on Interborough, 29-8. Kennett all over Sun Valley, 34-6. Sun Valley's touchdown came on a fumble return. So the defense scored, but now Penwood trailing Massaponics 20-15 at half. All right, here we go. Jack Ryder with 2 tight ends and a wing tee behind him. Gives John Prochniak off the left side for a couple. Not much that time as inside linebacker Will Higson on the stop. Brings up 2nd down and 8 as Prochniak goes for just 2. So Prochniak, again, leading Delaware County in rushing by well over 100 yards coming into tonight. and 9 touchdowns was the best in the county as well on the ground. Blair with 6 rushing touchdowns as well has added his 7th tonight. Panthers looking for any points from anybody at this point. 2nd down and 8. Wing T, 2 tight end set. Jack Ryder turns, gives to Blake, looking for room off that left side. He's got room off that left side. Turn in the corner to the far sideline. Runs over Blair at the 40, and it'll mark him out of bounds where? Oh, just shy of the 40. Okay, well, all right. Either way, it's enough for a first down. Give Blake 10 and Trey Blair a tackle. And enough to move the sticks. First down, Panthers.
All right, here we go, hopefully.
Had some room off that left side. Good work there by Sam Burke, collapsing that edge. And it brings up, brings Panthers up to their 39-yard line. A little more breathing room here. Two tight ends, wing T again. Ryder with P.O. in motion. They give to Prochniak, who spins his way forward for a couple. Maybe the 41, but again, just not some easy work in there.
If they have a play where they option the Prochniak or make it look like they're going to hand off to him and turn around and pivot, I don't even know if...
Well, they've run that Mustang sweep. Yeah, they've run that Mustang sweep a couple times where they fake inside and get to P.O. who's in motion. But, yeah, bootleg.
As well as they're capturing Prochniak, it looks like they're just keying off of him. So,
2nd down and 8. Prochniak is your fullback. 2 tight ends again. Blake off the left side. Not much running room this time. They're going to drive him backwards as Higson in the backfield again. Higson and Klee have just been all over the place. And Gillespie just tying up blockers at nose guard, and those inside backers have run free most of the night. 3rd down and 8 as Gillespie and Klee credited with the tackle. So, brings up 3rd and 8 back at their 41. So they'll give Blake the line of scrimmage. I think that was generous. All right, Panthers trying to keep the sticks moving here. P.O. wing to the left. He goes in motion, back to passes. Ryder looking, fires at the flat for P.O. incomplete. I'm sorry, looking for Blake, rather.
Yeah.
But ball underthrown again, down near his ankles, and Blake couldn't corral it. 4th and 8, and the punt team comes on.
All right, now we got to kind of hope that they figured out their snapping issues, and we won't see another high snap.
All right.
All right, so he even kept the ball for a while. The problem is the clock is not the friend, and we're down with 7 minutes, 40 seconds in the third quarter.
Trey Blair onto a turn punts now with Burgess. He waits inside his 30. Emmett Young awaits a snap, and now you've got a flag, let's say here, from the line judge here. He's going to talk things over. This is pre-snap, so I'm not sure. It might be a sideline warning.
Sideline warning.
All right, they're going to back up. Haverford's going to back up off the sideline a couple of big steps. And then we'll try a snap again here. Alex Hemingway and Jarris Adams are your gunners on the outside, looking to maybe force this punt return one direction or another. Low snap this time. Good work by Young to keep it his feet on that one. Here's a kick and a diving fair catch made by Trey Blair. The return men have taken some chances tonight.
Well, I'll tell you, if I was Coach Gallagher, I think I'd have a little talk with these guys come Monday morning. I mean, you know, if that ball hits them and goes beyond them, there is nobody behind them but Green. He can't advance a muff punt, but still, that's possession with very short fields as opposed to just let it go.
So Blair takes a chance and comes up roses there for the Fords. I will have to say, another good play by Emmett Young not to put his knee down on that low snap.
Yep.
Did well to scoop it up and get the kick away down at the 33-yard line for Haverford. So at their own 33, 2 wide receivers to the left, wing to the right, and this is Blair on first down. Give is to Wint for running room off the right side. Now he's pulling away. 50, 45. Can P.O. catch him at the 30? 20. P.O.'s got him, and he shoves him off with a stiff arm and in for the touchdown. Chase Wint goes 67 yards for the Fords. And that is speed and then strength at the end. Gave him the last 30 as he shrugged off Ebo Pio. 7:20 to play here in the third quarter. And Wentz with a highlight film run, not unlike what we saw from Blair off that right side, similar spot on the field. And the Panthers just could not contain him.
Yep.
Ryan Wellington on for the extra point. It'll be Andrew McGinnis, the backup quarterback, to hold. Snap is a good one. Ball spotted. Kick is away, and it is good. 24-0. Haverford jumping out again with a big play, much like they did in the first quarter. Now they're at it again here in the third. Stick with us. Be back in just a moment. See if the Panthers can answer on HavenFootball.net.
You probably have a deductible of $500 on your car insurance. Why shouldn't it shrink each year you drive safely? Allstate thinks it should, down to nothing. Can you afford not to be in good hands?
Your local Allstate agent is Steve Taub in media. Give him a call at 610-566-3500 for all your insurance needs.
This is Ralph Lawler of the L.A. Clippers, and you're listening to high school football on HavenFootball.net.
Welcome back to Cornog Stadium, and the Fords have just extended their lead, a 24-point cushion now. Chase Wint, again, the Panthers had to keep the horses in the barn coming into this one, and each has gotten free once. Trey Blair in the first quarter with a 76-yard touchdown run. Chase Wint now with a 63-yarder as well. Here's an end-over-end kick coming down to Matt Schuler. Looking for room up the hash mark. Schuler bounces his way to the outside, up this near sideline, and Matt Schuler bumped out of bounds just shy of midfield. Nice work by the kicker, Dan Bebo, on the tackle at the 48-yard line. But Matt Schuler has given them terrific field position. Nice job by the sophomore. He's going to be fun to watch the next couple of years when the ball is in his hands on the offensive side of the ball as well. He's been terrific at strong safety here in his sophomore season. But now the Panthers needing some big plays on offense. Need to score, stop, score is the recipe. They go two tight ends, Aiden Prochniak to the right, Wilson to the left. Wing right is Evan Blake. He goes in motion, play fake, back to pass his rider. Looking, fires to the flat. It is caught by Ebo Pio, turns upfield and lunges his cross out near the 40-yard line, and they'll put him at the 41. Gain of about 12 and a first down. First completion of the night for the Panther offense. Ebo Pio with the grab, and that is his first catch of the season, believe it or not. So that's, a big part of the offense the first 4 weeks, obviously, the way as well as they've run the ball, but Panthers have to open it up here just a bit. First and 10 from the Fords 41. Ryder turns, quick hitter to Jarris Adams, rather. Adams into the game at fullback, and he rips off 7 yards on his first touch.
Yep.
Nice work by Jarris down to the 34.
Broke the first tackle, somebody wrapped him around legs, broke through it, and kept going, got another 4 yards out of it.
Nice work there on the quick hitter to number 6 in silver and black. Second down and call it 3 as Adams takes it for 7. So it's just to check, Ebo Pio, that is his first catch of the season. And again, Panthers in business now, second down and 3 from the Fords 34. Jack Ryder turns, gives to Adams, who's going to push his way for a few. Just going to be a little shy of first down yardage, I believe, when they unpile.
Yep, about a yard.
Going to be third and a yard and change, maybe. Nice work there by the Fords defense collapsing. Sean Reynolds leading the way. And again, you can see the size and the strength that Joe Gallagher talked about in the preseason.
Yep.
He said, I think we're strong. I think we're physically strong. Panthers offensive line just not getting the push that they're used to getting over the first month of the year here. Third and almost 2. Ryder turns, gives Prochniak off the left side. He's got first down and more. Tumbled just shy of the 25-yard line, but give him 7 and a Panther first down. That'll stop the clocks while they reset the chains. 5:35 to play here in the third. Panthers with a little energy now. First and 10 from the 27. This is almost as far as they've gotten all night. In the second quarter, they were moving it and stalled at the 26. Here they got a fresh set of downs though from the 27. Ryder turns, back to pass, looking, has time, firing for the end zone, has Wilson out there. It is juggled and intercepted. Oh, what a tremendous catch right there by Burgess. Wilson well covered, obviously. Ball not thrown badly. That
no,
was just almost a 50-50 ball, and Burgess wins it. About 5 yards deep in the end zone, and the interception, the first of the season, off the arm of Jack Ryder. And boy, just as the Panthers start to get some momentum there, they turn it over with 5:13 to play here in the third, and the Fords with the ball back.
And in all fairness, the only thing you can question is whether the ball should have been thrown with the coverage it was. But, this is high school, so I thought it was fine. And the bottom line is Haven cannot sit around and just you know, make their gains in 5 and 10 yard increments. They had to score 24-0. They got to get on the board. So
sometimes you just give the other guy credit. That's a great play by Burgess.
Yep.
All right. Two receivers to the right side. Wing to the left is Reynolds. Low snap, but picked up there and given to Chase Wint. Wint right up the middle, spins his way into the arms of Barlow and others. Barlow ripping at that ball, trying to get a turnover back there, but Matt Dowdy and friends hang on for the tackle at the 22-yard line. So brings up second down and about eight. Sam Burke in on the stop as well. Second and eight, and they send Burgess slot right. Colin Nye split right. Sean Reynolds' wing to the left. They go with a tight end set. They run about 95% of the time out of this set. Blair in the shotgun on second down. Give is to Wint, who's going to go off the left side and bump his way for a couple. They'll give him the 25-yard line. It brings up third down and five. And again, the Panther defense, for the most part, has held these guys in check. But two huge runs, a 76-yard and a 67-yard, I'm sorry, 74 and a 67-yard touchdown run for Wint and Blair. Really the big difference in the game right now. 24-0. Panthers on the wrong side of the scoreboard here as we're inside of 4 minutes to play in the third. Big third and five here for the Panther defense. Can they get off the field? Coming into tonight, they got off the field about 73% of the time. This is Blair who's going to dance his way in and out of trouble. Flag on the play. He's going to be shy of the first down here. Good work there by Barlow and Aiden Prochniak and John Wilson. There are a bunch of Panthers that had him surrounded and kept in check, but I think you're going to get a hold that's going to back them up. So do you decline the penalty and give them fourth and two and a chance to go, or do you say, yeah, no, they're not going to go for it and risk something crazy? Good decision by Coach Gallagher to say, yep, we've got a 24-point lead. God forbid you make a mistake on a punt here. And Panthers have to be smart here. Fourth and about three, not to jump off sides or get themselves a five-yard penalty before this ball is kicked. Here is Blair. He awaits at his 15. He takes the snap. He steps into one, a high wobbler. It's going to angle towards Chris Ouellet, who misjudges it, and it goes over his head. Now Ouellet's got to hustle to pick it up inside his 20. It's still loose, and he's going to fall on top of it at the 10. And now we've got a flag at the end of the play. Let's see here.
Oh, because you jumped on him. He was already down.
All right. Well, the Panthers may catch a break here in the sense that Ouellet fell on top of it all the way back at the 10-yard line. That was shaping up to be
a disaster.
A 63-yard punt. And that's what they're going to mark it as. But I think the Panthers may get 15 yards a little bit closer as the Fords jumped on top of Ouellet after he was already down. So 15-yard penalty for unnecessary roughness. Still, the Panthers at their 25-yard line here after, again, Ouellet came up full speed here, and that ball just carried over his head.
You know, when it rains, it pours. Yep, it's not your night, man, and it's not your night for a few reasons. I mean, the passing game has been close, as it was last week with Radner. It just hasn't gotten in there, and Haverford is tonight a better team than the Panthers relative to the front lines.
Panthers 1-for-6 thrown it tonight for 11 yards and one interception. Ryder is under center. Jarris Adams is your fullback. First down give is to Jarris Adams. He's going to push his way for a couple. Maybe a couple more, and that's it. Forward progress out to the 27 or so. Brings up second down and almost nine, I would say, when they unpile. We'll try to keep you posted if there are any other score updates. Still 10-0, Upper Darby trailing Marple Newtown on their...
That should make for an interesting game next week.
Yep. Radner is on the board. It's a mercy rule running clock circumstance, but Jameer Dixon scored on a 66-yard pass from Sam Dalella. 35-7, Garnet Valley on top of Radner. Here, toss play to Jarris Adams. Looking for him off this right side. Cuts inside, outside, and he's going to be buried for a loss. And the ball... Did the ball come out? I don't think so. Okay, they're going to mark him down first. All right, ball came out late, so it turns into third down and 10 as Adams loses a couple.
Got a good block by Christian Mazura, but Mazura didn't hold it, and the guy came back from behind Adams and took him down, which if there was a fumble, that would have caused it because Adams thought he was out of the play.
Yeah, well, Adams had nowhere to go in front of him. There's just a wall of red shirts in front of him, too. You'd like to think that, you know, again, great block there by Mazur. Should have gotten him upfield by then, but again, with four red shirts in front, Adams tried to pick his way, but couldn't find anything going. Willette split end to the left. Motion man is Blake on third and 10. Ryder back to pass, looking out to his left. Fires out there. It is caught by Willette, who's going to make the catch. He's going to be, I believe, a little bit shy of the first down.
Yeah.
It's going to be fourth and about two.
They really have to go for it. They can't give the ball back. So 2 minutes left in the quarter. They're trailing 24-0. A punt doesn't save you for another day, really.
Second catch of the season for Chris Willette. Goes for eight, and it brings up fourth down and two. So decision time for Coach Clancy is really not much of a decision. As you said, Mike, they'll go for it here. 1:40 and counting to play here in the third. Jairus Adams is your fullback. P.O. in the backfield as well. On fourth and two, they give it to P.O. off the right side. He's going to pick his way for just enough for a first down.
Just enough.
They're going to put him down right on that 30-yard line. I'm sorry, 35-yard line, and move the chain.
Yep.
So fourth down conversion there for the Panthers.
All right.
Nice work there as they were 6 of 11 on fourth down coming into tonight. I have to say also the Panther defense, they've done reasonably well on third down tonight even, forcing a few punts, but... coming into the game, they were getting off the field 73% of the time on third down and just not been able to do it quite as well tonight. All right, first and 10 here on the sweep coming this way is Ebo Pio to the near sideline, and he'll be banged down for maybe a yard.
When you see Pio coming out to the right, you see a lead blocker, another lead blocker, and five red shirts, you got a problem on your hands.
Just outnumbered again. Big, fast, strong. We knew that coming in, that Haverford would be every bit of that, and they are showing it tonight on the defensive side of the ball especially. 43 seconds, 42 seconds and counting to play here in the third quarter. Panthers will snap from their own 35, second down and 10. Jason Stone into the game at split end to the left. Adams is your fullback. P.O. wing to the left. Back to pass is Ryder, looking, he's firing, he wants a deep ball down that far sideline, and now it is juggled and intercepted. I think this is Blair. There's going to be a flag on the play. We'll see. Blair going down that far sideline. He's going to take it all the way down to the Strathaven 20-yard line, but I think you're going to end up with a pass interference call here as Stone got a stiff arm as that ball was in the air. Now, if they call it on the offense, we'll see, but there was a lot of hand fighting there.
There was a lot of hand fighting, and it could go. I think that call could go either way. Oh, he just indicated it's against Haverford.
It's coming back. So Blair's interception is going to be wiped out as he was hand fighting with Stone, and they're going to get defensive pass interference out of this, and the Panthers will end up with a first down. So pass interference, this will end up as a 15-yard penalty and a first down. So it'll move it up to near the midfield stripe when they march off the penalty. And the Panthers with a little bit of a life here, 14 seconds to play here in the third quarter, and with Stone in the game now, and again, he missed some time in the early season, but he is back on the field, and he was flat-out dominant in the JV game the last couple of weeks, and he is somebody that can stretch the field a little bit, has good hands, just a junior, so looking forward to his development in the weeks ahead, too, but good to see him them take a shot down the field with him. All right, Stone stays in the game as a split end to the right. Wing left is Ebo Pia. Blake in the backfield, and he has the football, looking for room off that left side. Cuts back, and he gets nothing, and in fact, less than that. He is belted by Higson. He paid for that one back at the 47, 48.
Either Haverford's defense is getting very lucky on calling their defenses, or they just know what Haven's going to run.
Well,
because, for to have three guys that deep in the backfield on a play like that, if Haven run the other way, there'd be nobody left on the other side of the field.
Well, we've come to the end of the third quarter, and the Panthers will have another 12 minutes in front of them to try to clean that up and see if they can penetrate a very tough Haverford defense. They've been impressive so far through the first three quarters. We'll be back in a moment. Fourth quarter action coming on HavenFootball.net.
This broadcast is copyrighted by HavenFootball.net for the private use of our listening audience. Any other use or reproduction of this broadcast without HavenFootball.net's consent is prohibited.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ron Jaworski, former Philadelphia Eagles quarterback, and you're listening to high school football right here on HavenFootball.net.
Fourth quarter action. Brian Carroll bringing you play-by-play. Mike Mayer with the color commentary and engineering. Andrew Kaufman and Pete Fulginetti with the stats and spotting. 24-0 Haverford on top of Strathaven here. Second and 12 for the Panthers at their own 48-yard line as we start this fourth quarter. In other news, Archbishop Carroll has stretched their lead on O'Hara. They're up 20 to nothing now. All right, here we go. Wing to left is Ebo Pio. On second and 12, Ryder on the counterplay to Pio. He's got a little bit of running room across the midfield stripe to the 47. Give Pio about five on the carry. Brings up third down and seven. So four down territory here for the Panthers. They can live with maybe three or four at a time, but they've gone backwards on several plays. Now they go no huddle. Wing to the left here is Pio. And the give is to the fullback, Prochniak, off the right side. He'll get the line of scrimmage and nothing else, really. Maybe a yard. But what a job here up front.
Boy,
Gillespie and Klee. And big 62's in there now. Pete Corcoran got some size up front.
Size is in town. I mean, they are not being pushed around. They are maintaining their slants. They're filling up the holes. There's been rare occasion where we've had just an open place to run.
Fourth and six. The Panthers from the Haverford 46 trying to keep the sticks moving here. Two tight ends set. Aiden Prochniak to the left. Motion man is Pio. Back to pass is Ryder. Looking. Has time. Fires on the wheel route. Has a man out there. Incomplete. Underthrows Evan Blake. Nothing doing. And the Panthers will turn it over on downs. Ryder, three out of eight throwing it now. Three out of nine, rather, with an interception. And Haverford takes over at their own 46 in very good field position. Looking to stretch a 24-0 lead, 10:52 to play in regulation.
I think at this stage of the game, Haven's got to be playing for pride, and they want to stop Haverford and get some points on the board before this evening is over. I think that's the best they can hope for at this stage.
Pride, practice, see if you can get a turnover, you never know. In the meantime, a little excitement here. Let's see. Upper Darby has scored 10-6. Extra point was blocked by Marple, so Marple hanging on to a 10-6 lead midway through the third quarter in Lansdowne. All right, here we go on Lansdowne Avenue, rather. Here we go. Low snap and scooped up and picked up here on the jet sweep. They're trying to turn a corner is nigh, and John Prochniak will say absolutely not. They're going to lose three on the play. Low snap disrupts the timing on the jet sweep. One of the just very few mistakes for Haverford tonight. It's not been perfect. Coaches will find something to pick at, throughout the game on both sides of the ball, but the defense has been fantastic for the Fords, and the offense, two big plays and one really nice scoring drive, a 60-yard scoring drive in that second quarter has been the difference. Second and 13, Trey Blair in the gun, Chase Wint on his right hip. Three receivers now to the left, one to the right is Sean Reynolds. Back to pass. Nope, they give it to Wint on the delay, and he gets the line of scrimmage, and then still on his feet into the secondary. Stiff arm on Adams. He spins his way and tumbles down to the Strathaven 28. What a job by Wint. They had him bottled up near the line of scrimmage. Touchdown-saving tackle by Jarris Adams. But 29 yards later, the Fords are out of trouble and now in business at the Haven 28.
Yeah, I mean, he looked every inch a 6 foot, 215 pounds on that run.
Yeah.
I mean, he just bowled people over, broke tackles, kept his knees high. I mean, there were at one point, I think I counted three guys on him.
11 carries, 138 yards now for Chase Wint, including the 67-yard touchdown run. First and 10 from the 28. Blair takes the shotgun snap, gives to Wint, looking for room off the right side. He picks his way for a couple. Nope, still on his feet. Can't really count him out, huh? Panthers Adams stood up at about the 24, and he still lunges down to the 20.
Well, now you got a wearing down factor, I think, for the Panthers.
Yep. Starting to show a little bit. And I will say this, Haverford has most of their guys going two ways, too.
Right.
They have seven two-way starters. And now without Mosley for the majority of this game, they have that. You would say that, hey, it's possible that you're wearing down, too. But right now, this is just a strength is a factor. This front line has been fantastic. Inside of 9 minutes now to go in regulation. Wing to the left is Reynolds. Split end to the right is Colin Nye. On second down and about three, Blair in the gun one more time. Give it to Wint again. Nope. Yep, he is going to take it off that left side. Again, good ball handling in the backfield, and now Wint just carrying tacklers down to the 10-yard line. 10 yards later, another first down, and they'll have the sticks on the sideline for first and goal. Blair, I will tell you, They've not done it just yet. Maybe you save that for another moment in another game when it's more important. But the ball handling's been fantastic. He has faked us out a couple of times. That one, he left it in Wynn's belly. If he had kept that one, there was nobody out here on the right side for him. First and goal to go from the 9. Burgess, slot to the right. Nye, split to the right. Shotgun snap, it's Went one more time. Right up the middle, is going to push his way right into the arms of John Wilson and Chase Barlow. Gain of about 2 brings up second and goal from the 7. Ford's in no hurry here. They're not huddling, but, again, just walking the play back in, and Went will... It's funny, they will not... They'll huddle with the line, but the two receivers don't join the huddle. They stay outside, and it's a hand signal or something else as to what the play will be. My guess is they keep it on the ground here, keep that clock melting with a 24-0 lead and 7 yards away from adding to it. Here we go. Second and goal from the 7. Give is to Went off the left side, and the Panthers there to meet him that time. Aiden Prochniak tumbles him at the line of scrimmage. No gain. Brings up 3rd and goal. Good work there. Prochniak, just before the snap, shifted. Jumped inside the tackle into that C gap and guessed right. Must have noticed something there. And
God knows it. Haverford's been noticing the Panthers all night long. I mean, their play on defense has been just as if we called out the play to everybody as we ran into the huddle.
All right, here we go. 3rd and goal from the 7. Empty backfield. Blair likes to run out of this formation quite a bit. They spread the field. Three receivers to the right, to the left. Blair is going to keep it himself. Straight up the middle he goes, and the Panthers are waiting for him that time. Wow. They bury him. No gain on the play. Burke and friends on the stop. And now 4th and goal from the 7, and maybe they go field goal here. I mean, they're certainly in range, but... And they're going to try to get 6 out of this.
Yeah, even if they don't, the Panthers are on the wrong end of the field.
Yep. All right. So they'll forego the field goal attempt, and they'll try it again from the 7-yard line. Panther defense trying to keep them out of the end zone. This is the most points they've given up all season by far. Ridley, well, Haverford has already surpassed that, and now looking for more. 4th and goal from the 7. Panther D trying to get a stop. Give inside to Went. He has stood up in the hole and dropped. They'd stack him up at the line of scrimmage. Good work from the defense right there, and boy, that was like he hit a brick wall. Was that John Prochniak that stood him up? Went looked like he was just as he was getting ahead of steam. His head popped straight back, and the Panther offense comes onto the field. So both teams turn it over on downs here in the 4th quarter. Difference now, though, is the Panthers 93 yards from pay dirt.
And down 24 points. Yeah, other than that, it's pretty close.
There's that, right. Yes. Right. And so how did you enjoy the show, Mrs. Lincoln?
Yes, that's right.
So 5:55 to play here in the 4th. Panthers with a long road in front of them, but they'll start it from the 7 at the right hash mark. Jack Ryder is your quarterback. Jarris Adams in at fullback. They give it to Adams with a bit of running room momentarily and then nothing else. So no gain on the play as that hole closed very quickly. Adams now 5 carries for just 9 yards. Brings up 2nd down. Or was that P.O.? All right, P.A. announcer thought it was P.O. I can't quite see. Sight lines are a little tricky from this end of the field.
I'm looking through double-pane glass and reflection, so right. You got better than I do.
All right, so 2nd and 10, no gain on the play regardless.
Who did our sack guy call? Was it Adams going in? We'll check it on the film.
It was Jarris Adams.
Yeah, okay.
All right, motion man is Evan Blake from right to left. On 2nd down, quick hitter to Jarris Adams, and he is going nowhere. All right, nothing doing that time either.
Yep.
Maybe a yard if they're lucky, and it brings up 3rd down at almost 10. Corcoran on the stop. And along with Will Hickson for the Fords, he's been in on a number of tackles tonight. Hickson, we have him down for 8 already, or 9 now. And 3rd and 10 now for the Panthers from their own 7. You want to get at least a little bit of breathing room. Don't want to have your punter standing midway through your end zone. They shift tight end to the right, Christian Mazur. Motion man is Blake. Back to pass, looking, has time. Ryder's going to step up, runs out of time, and he's going to be dropped back at the 5-yard line. Well, had time momentarily, but they had guys 30 yards downfield, nothing underneath there. It was very well covered. Coverage sack right there and give 62 the sack right there. Fourth and about 12, and Emmett Young will end up punting from midway in his, through his own end zone here.
Which will be the first time experience for him.
Trey Blair and number five, Justin Burgess, await inside the Haven 40. The Fords end up likely to end up with very good field position here.
They are really running up against the clock there. They may get a time. They may have to call timeout.
Panthers break the huddle. Hemingway, the gunner, to the near sideline in front of us.
Yep.
Snap up, whistle first, and I think you are going to end up with delay of the game. Yep, you're right, Mike. Back judge just before the snap. Puts the flag down, and now they're going to snap from their own 2.5. All right, Ridley has stretched their lead on Pencrest to 35-7. Archbishop Carroll still leading O'Hara 20-0. We'll try to keep you posted on other scores from around District 12, but here, Emmett Young ready to kick it away. Gets it away, ball's nearly blocked. High spiraling kick. It's going to take a hop, and the Panthers, did that hit a Ford's player?
It sure did.
Scramble for it, and let's see. They unpile at the 35-yard line, and, well, not a lot of excitement there. All right, I guess the Ford's ball. The officials seem to there's just no signal at all. The Panther sideline seems to think that that hit a Ford's player.
But there's discussion now out there. They're trying to figure out what happened.
All right. Well, either way, the Ford's offense is on the field. And apparently no. Well, you can watch it on the tape, Mike.
Yeah, I will.
I guess the Ford's must have recovered it if it hit one of their players at all. All right, here we go. Trey Blair has the offense on the field again at the Panther 35-yard line. First and 10. Three receivers to his right. One to his left. He's in the gun. They give it to Wint, looking for room off the right side. He runs into Ebo Pio and John Wilson on the stop. Gain of about 3. Second down and 7 upcoming. We're Wint to now, again, this is exactly what Haverford wants, and you've got a 215-pound running back just pounding away at you.
Yep.
This is it's been a good
recipe.
If I
was Coach Gallagher, I'd just pull him out of the game, let my JV come in and start doing stuff. I mean, all you need to do is have him sprain an ankle or, you know, why would take the risk?
God forbid. Now, Marple Newtown has just scored again, 17-6. They lead Upper Darby. Marple's about to go to 4-0 unless Upper Darby has a big fourth quarter. Or 5-0, rather.
5-0, right.
All right, here we go. It's Wint. Oh, no, this is Blair on the keeper, and he is buried in the backfield. Aiden Prochniak kept him contained that time, and they drop him for a loss of 3 on the play. Third down and 9. Prochniak with the tackle for loss, and he's had himself a nice couple of moments tonight with stops in the backfield and good containment. But when your offense isn't scoring, it's it only takes one or two defensive breakdowns. But hard to win a game with 0, and that's what the Panthers have right now with 2:10 and counting to play here in the fourth. Blair and the offense for the Fords have 3rd and 9 from the Panther 34. Three receivers to the left, one to the right. Blair in the gun one more time. Give is to Chase Wint off the left side to continue melting the clock, and Pio there to meet him, and ball came out. Let's see. Scramble for it, and let's see. They unpile. Panther offense is coming out on the field, and they are on it. Panthers recover. I think that was Matt Schuler on top of it. Did not see. Yep, it was Matt Schuler on the fumble recovery. He's been a ball hawk, I'll tell you. He's got a couple of the sophomore with a couple of interceptions, and now his first fumble recovery of the year. Gets the football back for the Panthers. So nice job by the defense. Yeah, I will say it for the defense. Really just 2 breakdowns and 1 tough drive against them. Aside from that, they've really done a decent job overall. Offense, on the other hand, has run into a brick wall tonight, so we'll try to dent it here with 1:52 to play. Ryder back to pass, looking, fires to the flat, complete to John Prochniak, who's going to be dropped. Flag on the play, let's see here. Prochniak for a gain of 2 on his first catch of the year out of the fullback slot here, and they're going to pick up the flag. Okay, no flag on the play. So second down and 8 upcoming. Good tackle there by Reynolds and Trey Blair. And you're right, Mike, especially on defense, I would think if I'm Haverford, I'd want to get some of these guys safely off the field.
Yeah, I would not want to risk it. I mean, you know, you've got your, you know, you've got a strong line on both sides of the ball, no doubt about it. But boy, these running backs have been terrific all night long, and I would not risk their health or safety. And you got Blair still in the game.
Second down and 8. Inside, approaching 1 minute to go. They go with a toss play to Igbo Pio off the right side. Pio is going to be undercut there. Nice tackle in the open field to drop Pio at about the 34. Gain of just 3 after all that. I mean, boy, even when it looks like they've got a lot of room, it's the hole's closed
down
very quickly. And Strathaven now, 57 seconds, 56 seconds, 3rd and 5 upcoming. They're going to need a big play here to keep the sticks moving and maybe find a way to the end zone. But they're at their own 34. Ryder under center, 2 tight ends. Quick hitter to Prochniak. Running room off the left side momentarily. Steps away from him and pushes his way forward out to the 46-yard line. That'll stop the clock while they move the chains. But 12 more for John Prochniak. And Panthers, you know, that all that being said, Panthers still have all their starters on the field as well. Jimmy Callahan on the stop for the Fords. Clock ticks. We're inside of 30 seconds as Mike Golay lines up over the ball at center. 1st and 10 from the 46. Prochniak is your fullback. Ryder gives to P.O. a little bit of room. Not much after that. Maybe 2 or 3.
That should be it, really.
Clock ticks. 15 seconds, 14 seconds, and I don't think either team has interest in any more snaps. Clock inside of 10 seconds, and they will line it up at midfield. And how about those Fords?
Boy.
They've given up 7 points in the last 3 weeks combined. And the Fords just about getting it right. And tough timing for Haven, huh? Ran into a buzzsaw tonight. Your final here at Cornog Fields, Haverford 24, Strathaven nothing. Stick with us. Be back in just a moment. You're listening live to high school football right here on havenfootball.net.
Selling or buying a home is serious business, and for serious business, the key to your success is to work with an experienced agent. Sandy McCauley has almost 20 years of real estate experience and is a seller representative specialist as well as a certified residential specialist. Sandy specializes in both Delaware and Chester County real estate. Sandy conveniently works out of the Media Berkshire Hathaway Home Marketing Center in Media. Let Sandra's experience be your advantage in today's multifaceted real estate market. Give Sandy a call at 610-368-6641.
This is Keith Jackson reminding you you're listening to high school football right here on havenfootball.net.
Well, Haverford's defense is the story tonight. We'll have to say, you know, 24-0, you say, oh, wow, what did, and Strathaven gave up the most points they've given up all season. But, you know, when you look at it, you had breakdowns against 2 dangerous athletes on 2 plays total tonight. And aside from that, the defense held up, I thought, reasonably well. I mean, again, they had a 74-yard touchdown run by Blair in the first quarter, a 60-yard scoring drive. And then aside from that, Chase Wint had one big run in the fourth quarter. And, you know, beyond that, I thought, Mike, the defense did reasonably well.
But you're right. The Haverford still wins 7-0. Based on that scenario, because we couldn't score any points. So, so yeah, it's just an overwhelming performance. I think Haverford, you know, they were much stronger than I think anticipated. And I had said in the 50-yard line, don't let that 2-2 record, you know, mislead you. And boy, even though I said that, I was misled. I am very surprised by this score. I'm absolutely surprised by the total dominance, particularly after Haven faced such a good Radnor team. But of course, the other thing gives me pause is Radnor went in and got absolutely clobbered by Garner Valley, who we will face later in the year.
That's right.
So, you know, you know, rather than explaining to do, you got some improvement to do if you're going to be in this league. And of course, both Haverford and Garner Valley are 6A teams, somebody we will not face in playoff situations. But they are good, solid teams, and that is somebody you will face in playoff situations. So they're going to find some answers. I'm not too sure what they are. They certainly looked overpowering. Now they're going to have a chance to get back on their feet next week. But Marple Newtown is showing they're no pushovers either. So this is going to be this may be a little more evenly of a match game, but I would have called that last week as well. So we'll have to see.
That's right. So, well, we'll see what Marple has to bring. Upper Darby still kind of a question mark in a lot of people's minds. You know, 17-6 is the score at the moment. It's early in the fourth quarter there. So there's still, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. There's time for Upper Darby to come back tonight, and I guess it could happen. But if Marple comes in 5-0 next week, that becomes a huge game for Strathaven. I mean, that's a team that you feel like you want to beat all the time, and
right.
They were able to do that last year. Just total domination against Marple a year ago, just punished them with that wing tee.
Yep.
And I would think the plan is going to be something similar to that. But, of course, you know, confidence is a big thing. And if Marple Newtown, despite playing probably a little bit of a softer schedule in the early going, if they go out and beat a 6A team tonight, they're going to come in awfully feeling awfully good about themselves.
Well, plus they're coming in undefeated.
Right. So you're undefeated, soft schedule or not. If you beat a 6A team tonight, they're going to come in with confidence.
Yep.
And the Panthers have to be able to match that and say, yeah, we can play with you too. So
yep.
We'll find all that out 7 days from now. Back at George L. King Field, the friendly confines, back at home. 6:45 will be on the air next Friday night, 7
yep.
o'clock kickoff. We'll say hi to our buddies at MarpleNewtownFootball.com as well. But, again, it'll be hopefully a bounce-back effort from the Panthers tonight. But that's to take nothing away from Haverford, who looked every bit as tough as always with a big defensive effort tonight. And the Panthers are shut out for the first time this season. So, with that being said, we're going to say thank you to everybody here at Haverford for getting us set up in the booth. Thanks again to Pete Fulgenetti with the spotting, for Andrew Kaufman with the stats, and, of course, the halftime chatter as well. Check out havenfootball.net. Thanks to Mike Mayer, of course, who's going to do all sorts of work over the next few days to get you know, your play of the game and all sorts of big things up on the board for articles and so much more that makes this thing go. So thanks again to our sponsors, and we will be back next Friday night. Your final score at Haverford: Haverford 24, Strathaven nothing. Panthers will bounce back next week against Marple Newtown. Brian Carroll signing off. Good night, everybody, and great football.
This internet broadcast has been a production of HavenFootball.net Incorporated. All rights are reserved. Thanks for listening, and good night.